are to you people. Starship, Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis off for a day of broadcast insults on both CLTV and WGN everywhere.
Nice.
All right. The app working today? We had a little trouble with the app. So let me try the app while we're doing this.
We got a thumbs up. It's all good. Can you hear me now?
Get on the app. Right, I know. Sometimes we do that. It's just, you know, sometimes hear that on the show where there's a lot of confusion here because somebody hasn't hit the right button. That's like the app did that to us yesterday all on its own.
Mostly it's you and me not hitting the right button, by the way. The engineers come in here pulling their hair out after we've told them, hey, it's you. They're like, no, it's you.
I guess what I would suggest to anybody in the public, if you're ever, let's say, on an airplane and you hear...
Welcome aboard, you people. That's Rokan and Anna DeBlantis flying the plane today. We know you have a lot of choices when you fly. I'd like to thank you for flying with us, and good luck.
Seatbelts, everyone. Seatbelts. Good luck. Not a thing you want to hear from the pilot.
Right, exactly.
Good luck. No, I think that was... No, that's not, that wouldn't be very comforting, would it?
No, because sometimes we're not good with the button pushing. And then the app, you know, I don't know, the app was not, I don't know whose fault that is. Is it my fault? Is it their fault? I don't know. Who runs the app around here? Anybody?
I don't.
Yeah,
I know.
Whatever
they
it is.
Put me in touch with, in charge of that.
So, but here's things coming up on the program today. Mr. Ben Bradley is going to be here. There was a Russian spy plane over Chicago.
How about that?
And he's freaked out by it.
Yes.
I'm kind of freaked out by it.
I was freaked out about it, too, when I heard about this.
There was also another thing he's going to share with us that is even more delicate, believe it or not. So stay tuned for that. It's coming your way in just a few minutes. And then Susan Schmidt, as we mentioned, is going to be here from Aviva Investors. She's, again, explaining what happened here with the yield curve. I do remember over the years that she has been on this program, she and I have debated the yield curve before. And at one point, she turned and said, "You don't know anything about what you're talking about."
Oh, gosh.
And I said, okay, well that
compared to her,
true.
I think that's very true.
I'm certain that's true. But I was absolutely convinced that this was an important thing a year ago. But again, we've been dabbling with it. She'll explain exactly what it means.
And what if we should be as concerned as the market reacted today in such a volatile way, or if this is just a little bit of a blip on the radar screen.
But they're also looking at Europe. The German economy specifically had a bit of a slowdown. They're looking at that. And then everybody's always worried about this thing with China because, you know, this isn't as much as we want to play this game with China and China wants to play this game with us. And yes, China's a bad actor in a lot of ways. But China is the second largest economy in the world. They do have leverage in this battle. And it's not as easy as we were when we were kicking other economies around. You know, you can kick a single European economy around, but then when they got the euro dollar, it was harder. It's one thing to fight with Japan when we did that in the 1990s. Because the Japanese economy, though, you know, bigger by world standards, very small by American standards. Not so true with China.
No, things are not looking good in China. But
right. They got close to 2 billion people. They still got to feed them. And they still got to house them. And they still got to put wheels under their feet and computers in their homes. And they can do some of that without us. But they do a lot of that with us. So those are things that we have to remember there. And they got to stop cheating us. So it's a whole thing.
Yeah, that has to be changed as well, which is kind of how you got into the whole thing. It's just how do you get out of it?
And our own Kevin Powell. Do I have Kevin up in the control room?
I'm here.
All right, good. All right.
Are you on location right now, Kev?
I am on location. White Sox fans filing in, getting ready to meet the great Hall of Famer Harold Baines here at the Xfinity store in Hyde Park.
So what is the address?
White Sox tickets to give. What's that, Ro?
What is the address of the Xfinity store?
It is 1322 East 53rd Street. In downtown Hyde Park. We also got White Sox tickets to give away, so if you come on by, you'll have a chance to win those. And Harold will be arriving at 4 o'clock.
53rd, not too far from Lakeshore Drive.
Right off. Not far at all.
Yeah.
Just about 5 minutes or so, just through downtown Hyde Park. Just
that 53rd Street is a shocker when you see it. It is like
awesome.
It is the most amazing stores and restaurants. And I mean, that 53rd Street is a renaissance. And
it's really cool here, and it's packed. I mean, people are walking up and down the sidewalks here, so
it's beautiful.
It's a busy neighborhood. Very cool.
Oh, yeah. A lot going on. All right. So if people want to go meet the great Harold Baines, he is going to be there.
Correct.
All right.
And
what are you going to do when he's
White
there?
Sox
what,
tickets.
What are you? Are you going to behave properly, or are you going to act like a
fanboy? I'll try.
Fanboy?
I mean, we normally don't be. Do we ever behave the Rokan show? I don't think so. But
no. Not known for it.
Did you bring your own? Did you bring your own swag to get signed, or is that kind of frowned upon?
Yeah, I think that's kind of frowned upon. Okay. I don't want to get a bad look in front of Harold.
You know what you should do.
But I only brought a.
Push a bunch of kids aside and throw your swag in front of them first, because you say, "Hey, WGN
right.
Radio." That's the way
right.
things happen.
I thought it'd be a bad look, but I still brought a helmet, a bat, and like 17 baseballs. So,
okay.
Other than that, not
That's
much
nothing.
For Harold. And I figured I should be first in line since I'm here, right? So I can cut everybody.
And Lauren
patiently waiting.
Has a U-Haul downstairs that we did not let her take over.
Really?
With
no.
all of her, she's got newspapers from like every single iteration. Anytime Harold Bain's name is in a newspaper, even on a score line, uh-huh. she wanted to sign all of that. She's got jerseys. She's got
yeah.
a whole thing.
Yeah, they actually locked my traffic door, and I didn't even know I could do that
from the outside.
I'll tell you said hello, Lauren.
Oh, thank you.
Oh.
I know that name well, the Lapkus.
Oh,
I've been dodging them for years.
No,
are they coming?
Not the Lapkus.
So small, but so intense.
That's true.
You don't miss a Baines yeah. event.
Tiny but mighty. All right, that's yes. the way we look at it. All right, well, okay. Well, so what time shall that be? That'll be exciting. Are we going to do something on the air about that when he arrives?
We're going to try. We'll see what Harold says. We don't know yet.
All right.
I'm going to talk to him when he gets here. But
does he know you're there? That's going to be a good moment right there. When he walks in and he's like, what? What are you people doing here?
Well, I'm here with WGN and we're going to do an interview and this whole thing. There's all these people. I hope that you don't mind. But I told the Lapkus they couldn't come.
Oh, all right then.
All right. Thank you for looking after my safety.
Okay, good. Very good. All right. Thank you, sir. Stand by. Yeah. We'll check in with Ben Bradley in the WGN-TV newsroom. But first, let's check in with our own Kim Gordon in the WGN radio newsroom. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, Congress is working on a bipartisan gun control bill, even though lawmakers are in summer recess.
Con show with Anna DeBlantis right
yes.
here on 720 WGN's web version right now because the White Sox are on the big 7-2-0. What inning is that in right now, Kev?
We've got a sixth inning situation, Ro. White Sox leading 7-5.
Woohoo! I like when they beat the Astros.
You know, if they win this, they win the season series with the Astros, a heavy favorite to win the World Series. So yeah, they played them tough all year.
Just saying. Just a little something to think about. All right. Very good. Okay. So we'll be back on the radio probably in the late 4 o'clock hour, 5 mm-hmm. o'clock, whatever, the latest.
Close to the top 5 at 5.
Yes, exactly. Now, Ben Bradley joins us from the WGN-TV newsroom, where he is standing by. And, Mr. Bradley, you sent me an email. A crazy, scary email.
I saw it, too, and I was walking the dog, and I nearly fell over.
Don't even start, DeVlantes. You have never once responded to a single email I've sent
How
you.
How could I respond to that? What was I supposed to say? Make it stop?
The email was that a Russian spy plane flew over Chicago.
And that's what you wrote. And I'm like, what?
Well, please, that's what happened.
Well, explain.
So, yesterday evening, about 6:30 or so, a Russian spy plane took off from Dayton, Ohio, headed for Montana, hit the Indiana-Illinois border, and then took a sharp northerly turn and went right over Chicago. So you say, what in the world is a Russian spy plane doing flying around the United States?
The air show?
No.
What? No?
You might be surprised to learn that there is something called an Open Skies Treaty, which essentially has the member nations to this treaty, there are about 30 of them, have agreed to, with advance approval, allow the spy planes of other agencies, other nations, mm-hmm. to fly over their territory with the purpose of confirming that treaties are being abided by. So, for example, if a certain type of missile is banned in a treaty, then periodically, with advanced approval, the Russians can fly over various sites and make sure that there is, in fact, no evidence of it being produced. Now, this dates back to the Cold War, you know, before you had such high-tech satellites, you know, capable of zooming into a specific
block. But you said this thing took off from Dayton.
Yeah, so...
I'm assuming it went to the Air Force. There's a gigantic Air Force base there right past.
Right, yes. And typically, per the treaty, a couple of representatives of the nation that's being flown over are allowed to be on board to keep an eye on what's going on board that plane. But those planes are specially outfitted.
Pick up a couple generals at Wright Pat and fly around with them? Buck Turgidson and the other guys there? No? Yes?
Do they have to announce their presence in advance, or are they allowed to just
This has to be pre-approved. The airplane cannot have any type of armament, no weapons. And there has to be at least the opportunity for representatives of the host nation's military to be on board as an observer. But just within the last year, this fleet of Russian Air Force open sky planes, as they're called, has flown over a couple of America's top nuclear laboratories, including Los Alamos. They've flown over the United States eastern coast, including Washington, D.C. and New York.
Do you think Vladimir Putin was interested in Harold Baines' appearance at the Xfinity store on 53rd Street in Chicago?
I think that could be it.
That's why they flew over.
I would also point out that the White Sox were in the middle of a doubleheader at Sox Park.
Very interested in take a look at the doubleheader at White Sox.
But when you look at the flight path, it is a little strange because it literally this plane like hits, Linwood and turns right and goes right over Chicago, all the way up just west of Milwaukee, and then continues on toward Great Falls, Montana. Now, there were storms in the area yesterday, so it's possible they were just rerouting around some storms. But
yes,
I just thought a lot of people would be...
around storms.
Yes, I just thought people would be interested to know that periodically... that Russian spy planes are allowed to go over the United States. And in fact, the U.S. does the same thing with advance notice to the Russians.
Yeah. Sure. And this spy plane looks like a commercial airliner, so it's not exactly...
Yeah, I mean, it looks like
not intimidating looking.
Yeah, it looks like an old 727.
Yeah.
It's a Tupolev something or other.
He's a Tupolev 727. Like invent, you steal.
It may have been in the TWA fleet back in the day. And then when TWA went under... Boris Yeltsin picked it up for a bargain.
So who's on board? Is it just...
This is a Russian Air Force jet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they have, high-end digital cameras. They've got sensor equipment on board, it's been reported.
Mm-hmm. Do they get to land and, like, eat at Lou Malnati's or anything while they're here? I mean, where do they eventually, where do they...
No, they land at U.S. military bases, typically. Because, again, these have to be pre-approved by the U.S. government and the Pentagon. So, there is some sort of,
It's all right.
That's fine.
Hey, better that we know about it than somebody at, O'Hare Tower goes, what are you doing?
Why is there a Russian spy plane entering our airspace? Yeah. Because it really does. What they're doing is, how good could the spy work be if you've got the other guys on board with you? Right?
True. You're not going to give away any technology. But, somewhere Mayor Daley is going, this is why I closed MiGs, because the Russians.
Actually, he would have been all for the Russians. He was our first Russian mayor, as you'll recall. Remember, he's always going back there doing business.
There, yeah, he went to Russia a couple times. Now he's more focused on China. He spends a decent amount of time in China.
Really? I have a few follow-up questions.
Yeah, I do too.
Table goes to another day.
I'll never forget being in Switzerland or China, I think it was, and covering the Olympic bid and watching Mayor Daley, talk with, some International Olympic Committee figure from France, and then there was another guy from China, and these guys look like diplomats, right? And then you got Daley, with his hair kind of disheveled, making some points. He's got a little food hanging out of his mouth because it's a cocktail party.
Right.
And I remember just thinking, oh, dear God.
That's our guy.
What must they think of Chicago?
That's our guy.
Yeah. Mayor from Chicago.
Yeah.
Representing.
If you guys tried Lou Malnati, how about an Eli's cheesecake?
We could do a bet with our cities, our sister cities.
Yeah. Bratislavovsk, my sister city.
Let me tell you, though, the economic development in this city over the last 20 years has been pretty amazing.
It has been.
So I'm not going to. But by my standards, that running back and forth to Russia to do business deals made me a little uncomfortable even back then.
Me too.
You know? So, and especially now that I know what they're up to. And now that they're landing at, here in the United States with a spy plane. Also, that gives me a little. I know this is an old standing thing. We shouldn't get all nuts about it. Mm-hmm. And it really is nothing but a little bit of kabuki, military mm-hmm. kabuki.
It is kabuki, right? They can do so much more with a satellite these days.
Yeah. So this
or
is
by
just,
tapping our phones and that kind of stuff with the apps, their access to all these apps. Right?
Or just on Facebook.
Just on Facebook.
Just on
alone.
Facebook, right. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's they don't really need all of that, but it's kind of fun. It gives them something to go do.
Yep,
it's a beautiful. Wright-Patterson is a beautiful place. It's one of the. It's a lovely. You got to remember Dayton. That's where the Wright brothers were from. It's the cradle of aviation. Mm. So if you're going to go anywhere, if you're a pilot, you want to go to Dayton. You want to see, there's a little bicycle factory where they're working on the plane. Everybody thinks it's North Carolina. That's just, they had to go to North Carolina because that's the only place you can get enough flat space and wind mm-hmm. to get that thing off the ground.
Well, maybe that's what the Russians were doing in Dayton, is stealing the Wilbur Wright technology. Because after seeing much of their Aeroflot fleet, they might be able to use it.
An upgrade a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing, and I think this is very informative, people will watch that Chernobyl series mm-hmm. that was on. One of the lines from that series is Gorbachev, who was then the premier of Russia, when he said, the power of Russia is the perception of her mm-hmm. power. Not that she's all that powerful. And that was the thing. That's why they didn't want to tell the world that the thing had just gone kablooey. Yeah. Which is also why they didn't want to tell the world that their missile went kablooey a couple days ago. And then the Finnish government was like, hey, why is there 17 times as much radiation on our beach right now? Why? And then they had to go, well, we are working. We are stopping at Dayton to get Lumalati pizza.
And they've heard, too. They know all about it.
And then tried to distract him. They go, really? Lumalati's pizza in Dayton? Well, we are going to fly by Chicago. Don't worry. It's too much of a start. Oh, and by the way, nuclear missile blow up.
Yeah, and the range on that plane, by the way, is not great. So he's not going nonstop Chicago, Moscow.
Well, I see. They're going to Grand Forks next, right?
Yeah.
To the Air Force Base up there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So do you feel better?
Mm-hmm. No.
I don't know.
Elmendorf
not
will
really.
Be next. I'll bet they go to Alaska, then over. That's going to be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wave to Sarah Palin on their way back.
She likes them, too. Tells us everything we need to know, really.
Yeah.
I think. Oh, God. All right. Thank you, Ben.
Yep.
Like I said, something intimate was going to come out of that. Kim Gordon's got the WGN news right now. She is. She's not really known as this so much anymore, Susie Sunshine, because, she used to just be on this show, and now she's on every network known to man.
Right, even places that are a little bit bigger than us.
Yes.
I've noticed.
Yeah.
Like the BBC.
Yeah, like everything that's bigger than us. And so
she has never forgotten her roots.
Yes, thank you. Oh, thank you for attending.
That's what we love.
It's my pleasure. You guys are very kind. Thank you.
You're welcome. But they don't call her Susie Sunshine on the BBC or Bloomberg or CNBC or any of the other places that she's at.
No, that's special just for you guys.
Yeah, as far as we can tell. All right, I was mentioning this. John Williams was freaking out. I know it'll be a surprise to no one who's a longtime listener or viewer of this program. My mother called freaking out today mm-hmm. about this, that the market, when the market takes an 800-point dive on a day, that's generally a fairly, big story.
Noticeable.
Yeah. But the yield curve is what it seems to be the thing that precipitated this.
Yeah, so the yield curve prompted all of this today. And
now explain what that is.
Sorry. Well, the Dow was down, let's talk about the 800 points, because I like to talk in terms of percentages, because that's more relevant. So percentages, almost every major index today was down 3%. So that's a big move. And it was precipitated by the yield curve. So the yield curve is where interest rates are. When you think about going to the bank and getting a CD and figuring out, how long do I want to have that CD for? They give you different interest rates to choose from. And normally, the farther you go out, the longer you give the bank your money, the higher the interest rate is. Well, today we saw something that has been moving in this direction, but today it actually happened. We saw an inversion. And so the short-term rates that 2-year specifically rate was actually higher than what the 10-year rate was. So you're getting more for short-term investment than you are for long-term. And that tells you that people are getting really nervous about what's going to happen in the economy. And they're flooding into long-term bonds, trying to seek protection, because they're not certain that the economy is going to go up. In fact, they think it might be flat or go down. So we saw that today, an inversion in the yield curve. That's what people are talking about. And when you see that, that can be the front runner to signal a recession.
You saw the president's tweets about crazy inverted yield curve. He, of course, blamed the Fed, calling Fed Chair Powell, calling him clueless and saying that he's been too slow to cut and that kind of thing. But really, what I keep hearing from economists is that this has more to do with the global economy, and there's a slowdown.
That's exactly right. And what precipitated the change in the yield curve is that we got data from outside the U.S. And so German GDP slowed. And then we also got just so-so data out of the Chinese economy. So both of those data points made investors a little bit nervous. The bond market said, I don't like this. And people are trying to move to the sidelines. Now, remember that it's August as well, so there aren't as many participants in the market because it's vacation season for a lot of people. So we have a little bit less liquidity, and that tends to exacerbate moves as well. But it's clear that, you know, concern about tariffs, concern about a hard Brexit, what's going on in Germany, which has been propping up most of the European economies, have all come to play here. And I think it's finally trickling through to CEOs and the consumer, and people are just backing off.
So Brexit still sits out there.
Brexit still sits out there. We haven't heard it in the news, but a hard Brexit still sits out there. Probably October 1st, there's some concern as to what is going to happen in October with Brexit. That's still an issue. Today, the focus was on Germany. Germany has been obviously a big industrial nation, one of the biggest economies, the biggest economy in the European Union. And that GDP growth turned negative, and that's what scared investors today. They've seen that start to soften, and so month over month, negative 0.1%. Not a huge number, but still not the direction that investors want.
But if you look at some of the positives in the economy right now, we keep talking about jobs, and wages have been ticking up slightly, and then you also have consumer spending has been strong. Is that not fair to say?
That's very true, and that's actually one of the focal points for the next couple of days. So the consumer, 70% of GDP in the economy in the U.S. is because of the U.S. consumer. So the U.S. consumer is very important, and we're going to be seeing retail sales, and those general retail sales come out tomorrow. Macy's reported today, probably didn't help the situation that Macy's didn't have a good quarter. So Macy's stock was down. They had lower sales than expected. The market wasn't happy with that. We're waiting for the general retail sales number to come out tomorrow. And then the Michigan Consumer Confidence Index is going to be released on Friday. The market's going to be paying a lot of attention to those two numbers because it, representing 70% of the economy, the consumer has been feeling good. And that's what's kept things going. They've had, you know, they feel like they've got money in their pocket. Gas prices have stayed low. Average hourly earnings have crept up. Unemployment's very low. They're in a good situation. But globally, there are reasons to be concerned.
Okay, so you have, but if that, and I know that's all true, but why, what explains the fact that the gross domestic product is softening over this year? If the economy is, if consumer confidence and consumerism and consumer consumption is up,
spending,
thank you, is up, where is the slowing in the U.S. economy?
Well, in the U.S. economy, we're still seeing good positive GDP growth. So the U.S. economy so far has done fairly well. We saw good growth in the first quarter. In the second quarter, remember that there was some pull forward as well because people were concerned about tariffs, what might happen with imports, exports, the prices of their raw materials. So we saw perhaps a shift. What we are seeing now is a general hesitation to spend on the part of corporations as they're trying to figure out what happens in the global trade scenario.
What, you know, Ro pointed out something earlier, and I want to get your take on this, Susan. If this is just sort of an intraday, one-day thing and the yield curve changes, does that indicate as much as we think today? Could this be sort of an overreaction, or do you really start looking at this as you're kind of pointing data on a trend line at this point?
Right. Well, we've talked about an inverted yield curve, but more between the 3-year and the 1-year. The difference that people really look at is the 10-year and the 2-year, and that's what inverted this morning. Now, when we got to the end of the day today, that they were both the same rate, so the inversion had flattened out, and it was basically flat. People still don't like a flat yield curve because it means that there's some hesitation about what's going to happen further out on the time frame for the economy, but it can be that you do have an inversion, and it doesn't necessarily mean that there's a recession. So it can be that we have a change in interest rates, and this is in some ways a signal to the Fed that there's concern about the economy. What can the Fed do in terms of changing interest rates and dropping them to help support the economy and bring confidence back?
But, and I want to, so let's just explain that. So if for a 2-year, you should be getting a better interest rate, more money on a 10-year bond than you're getting on a 2-year bond, right?
Right.
That's the idea, is you're giving the money up for 10 years.
Right.
It's incentivizing you by saying, hey, the bond holders think, hey, listen, the bond letters, I should say, the people, you know, that are selling you the bond, they're like, hey, listen, we'll make this up. You know, we're going to make that 3% up or 5%, you know, whatever you're going to get on your bond.
We're going to take your money for a little bit longer. We need to make it worth your while. We're going to give you a little bit more.
Because we're confident that we can do that. We're confident that we'll make that work. That when it's lower, when it's equal to what people think they're going to do in 2 years, then that is alarming. Like, we don't know if we're going to make that up. So that's an important part. That's sort of just a way of explaining the difference here to people who don't play in these waters.
And it's, remember that when everybody wants to buy something, the price goes up. So what we're seeing is a lot of people are saying, I'm not really sure how the economy looks 10 years from now, and I don't know about that, but I feel like a good safe place to put it is into bonds. And when you push up the price of bonds, that also brings the interest rate down. So what you're getting is, you're getting that sentiment change where people are expressing hesitation and concern for the outlook on the economy.
All right. I want to go back to this dead horse, because we just went past this, but I don't think I fully understood what was going on. The velocity of the gross domestic product has slowed, right? And from year to year here. It's still up, but it's not growing as quickly as it had been growing. That's what I was trying to get to. Is there a reason for that?
Well, it's natural for the progression of growth in the GDP to taper off as you come out of a recession. So remember that we're many years into this recovery. It's not unusual to see that growth slow. But what is concerning is ultimately the growth has to plateau and turn negative. And when we talk about when is this recovery finally over, when do things turn, that's what people are talking about. They're looking to that GDP number to be a sign for them of when things have actually slowed. So what we're doing is seeing that growth slow now. People are worried that the growth is flattening, or with continued concern about trade and internationally, then people will pull back on the spending, not just at the corporate level, but at the consumer level as well. And that will cause a slowdown in the economy.
Are there any other tripwires in a potential recession here that are similar to the structures that put us into the Great Recession in the mid-2000s? Is there, like, you know, people who, you know, watch the movies about all that from, you have to figure out exactly what happened in the Great Recession, where you had the, you know, we were basically betting on houses of cards, literally, and then those houses of cards came down. You were betting on another guy's bet about a bet, essentially, is what the market started allowing us to do.
The Big Short.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the Big Short, they said, you know, none of these rules have really changed. Are we concerned that we're setting ourselves up again?
Yes, now those rules have changed, and banks have gotten much more cautious about what they're doing, and we also aren't allowing those kind of bets to be made. So the market structure has changed. We aren't going to be repeating the same problem that we had in the mid-2000s, and we don't see that kind of leverage out there that we risk taking things down. What's interesting about this is, you know, in the mid-2000s, one of the problems was we saw credit start to collapse. The people had overextended, you know, they bought 3 houses and were trying to flip them, and everybody had done that, so there was just too much supply, and suddenly everything fell apart. What we have now is actually a consumer that's in pretty good shape, and we've talked about, you know, low unemployment, you know, good wages. We feel like there's a moderate growth in average hourly earnings, so things have been looking okay. We won't have the same problems that we had in the mid-2000s, but we could very well have a slowdown in the economy just because that's the natural progression of growth.
Former Fed Reserve Chair Janet Yellen weighed in today saying she does not think this inverted yield curve is a sign of a recession on the horizon. She says there are other factors that are kind of weighing down on the long-term bond issues, and she said it, she pointed to international, I guess, investment. But
there are, and remember, we talked about Germany and China. Remember that there are plenty of international investors who still think U.S. Treasuries are the best place to be. So they want to be in U.S. Treasuries, U.S. bonds, and that's a lot of the money that's flowing in, seeking a flight to safety and a flight to quality, buying our U.S. government instruments.
And wouldn't that be good for the U.S. if all this money in less secure global economic environments come to the U.S.?
It is good for the U.S. because it keeps interest rates low, and it's here for a positive reason. The market is a little bit flighty and is looking at this saying, well, wait a minute, if growth is slowing in Germany and we have problems with China, does that translate? And that has yet to be seen. So again, we still see some strength in the U.S. consumer. Things are good here, but the markets are getting nervous about what's happening internationally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And as you know, I'm nervous about everything internationally and domestically. So don't worry. It's all good.
It's your permanent state, Ro. We've come to accept that.
Thank you. Susan Schmidt of Viva Investors. Thank you for your help.
Thanks,
guys.
All right. Let's check in now. Kim Gordon, WGN News. What's going on?
And as you were talking about a big sell-off on Wall Street today, the Dow suffers its worst day of 2019.
Kevin Powell is on a remote today. He's at the Xfinity store on 53rd Street, East 53rd Street, 1300 East, right? Is that right? What do I got there?
1322 East.
You got that right.
1322 East. Yep. There we go.
And the Hall of Famer himself is in the building. He has just walked in. Harold Baines has entered, and the store is getting jam-packed here as people await the chance to meet Harold Baines to get an autograph. We got tickets to give away. We got WGN White Sox swag, and Xfinity's also giving away some pretty great stuff too. Harold Baines posters, mini bats, the Hall of Fame replica plaques that they gave away at the Sox game the other day. So it's fun over here. See, he'll be here until 6 o'clock. So get here because it's going to be a long line for Harold Baines.
Till six, really?
That's a nice
he'll
long
be here
engagement.
Till six.
Wow,
yeah.
That's very generous.
It is very
of
generous.
A Hall of Famer.
Very generous. That's
generous
right.
With his time.
I mean,
it's a cool atmosphere because we've got the White Sox game on, so everybody's kind of huddled around, and Harold Baines ready to post up and meet all these diehard fans. So
are we going to get a chance to talk to him?
Working on that, Rob.
Okay. I don't want to put any pressure on you.
I got my producer hat on. I'm gonna do my best for the show. I mean, if we do it, it's going to have to probably be after 6 when he's done.
Yeah. All right. So, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to put up with that.
Okay.
See what you can do, Kev.
Yeah.
I will.
Now, we do have Orion Samuelson actually playing News or Ruse.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah, with us later on today.
I want to ask Orion about the championship steer. He was reporting on that this morning at the state fair.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Governor and his wife were bidding against each other, I'm told.
A lot of cheddar for that steer.
Yeah.
And well, cheddar, I mean money.
Yeah. Although the steer's wife makes the cheddar. Right?
Right.
And isn't that how that goes?
Something like that.
Is steer the boy? You know, I'm from the Midwest,
yeah,
right? I'm
from we the. We would all know this. Right. Orion is listening to this, going, "Oh dear, so much to tell these people, so much to teach them."
Well, so the cow's a girl, right? We know that. The steer is like a bull, is a boy.
I thought it was a kind of a a changed male, right? Altered. No?
No? You mean like a one without it? You know, like they do a thing with a thing?
I thought so. That's what I thought.
Yeah. So, they take away his, thing?
I thought so.
That sounds
much information.
To me,
that all sounds accurate to you, does it?
A
good.
Young neutered male. Cow.
There you go. That's what I thought it was.
Primarily
it was sort of
raised for beef.
Mm hmm. So it's okay. Yeah, they kind of change things a little bit. And so, anyway.
So, he's not going anywhere then. He's, except to our plate, essentially.
Right. Well, or to, if you know, happen to know Governor Pritzker's wife, MK, she's the one who bid on it and won.
Oh.
$75,000.
What are they going to do with
a
steer?
Well, yeah, that's exactly what you do. You you eat it.
I think they're donating it to a food bank.
Oh, God.
That's the last I heard.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, God.
Is that bad?
A great cookout.
Oh, God. I don't like to ever think about it like that. I'm one of those guys who, when I, you know, when I have a steak, I'm like, my God, that came from right in back of that swinging door of the
you
restaurant.
You want to see the sausage is made?
Or at the Jewel, you know, like you're over by the Jewels and you get and you see them swinging door.
You sort of see it.
Yeah, they just make that back there. Mm-hmm. Whatever they're doing, it's back there.
For the guy at a meal who always orders meatballs, steak, sausage.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, yeah. But I don't want to think about it.
Oh, okay, but you're not thinking of being a vegetarian or anything.
No.
Well, one day they will be making the meat in the Petri dish, so don't worry about it.
Well, they do,
are.
Actually.
They already are.
It's called the Impossible Burger.
That's right. The Beyond the Impossible, they're great, those things.
But I mean, like steaks and stuff like that, they'll be doing all of that if they're doing the Impossible Burger.
I just saw they're getting ready to make Impossible Bacon.
It's you know what, Kev? Don't knock it.
No. You're going
to
love it.
I'm the first to say knock it, and then because it was in L.A., you have to have it. Because you order actual meat in Los Angeles.
They stone you.
They called 911. I was arrested. it's like, you know.
And then you're able to show your Illinois driver's license, and then they say, okay,
right.
Let him go, people. He just doesn't know.
I felt like a black guy trying to use a bathroom in a Starbucks. Oh, that's what it felt like.
Or staying too long without ordering a latte.
There's a man here. He ordered an actual steak made from a cow. Get over here as quickly as you can.
He doesn't know.
We're all going to hide in the freezer until you get here.
You insulted everybody in L.A.
Right. But it was quite good. I had to have it, and it was good.
So anyway, 13-year-old
kid. Don't tell Orion I said that.
No.
All right.
No, he won't be. 13-year-old kid got the money for that. So very happy with the outcome of the 75 grand.
One other plug here, guys, are getting diehard at us. Some diehard Rokan show listeners coming to the store. We already gave some tickets away to them. So
nice.
All right.
Well represented here at the Xfinity store in Hyde Park.
Thank you. 1322 East 53rd Street in Hyde Park. If you have not been down to the new 53rd Street in Hyde Park,
awesome.
Oh my God, isn't
it
cool?
Out.
It is the restaurants and the stores, and it's a great, like, shopping district without all the hipsters. I just want to say that. That's the nice thing. You go to places that look like that on the north side,
mm-hmm.
and it's a bunch of people with an earring through their eyeball trying to, you know,
tell you that you don't know what you're...
Right. Trying to sell you an Impossible Burger. And you go down there, and that's like Chicagoans down there, right? I mean, that's like, right. That's, you know...
It's like real Chicago.
Right. Those are not people that are trying to, you know, sell you, you know, a hemp steak. No.
No.
Hemp steak. You're good, hearty people down here.
Yeah, right. Hearty Chicagoans down there. Anyway, it's great. It's a totally... And there's got to be parking around there and stuff, too, so...
Yeah, easy parking.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, let's do this. Let's check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News coming your way. Start talking dirty, web only show, because the White Sox seem to not want to win this game that they were winning so handily.
What's going on with the game?
It's now all tied up again.
In what inning?
It's in the eighth, it's the top of the eighth, right? Is that correct?
Yep.
Lauren Lapka?
Yes.
And and they just gave up a two-run dinger.
Oh, gee.
It was 9-7. Eloy Jimenez had a home run an inning ago to make it 9-something or another. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is we thought we were going to be back on the radio at like 5 o'clock, and I don't know that that's going to happen. And then I thought we were going to be able to talk to Harold Baines, who is with Kevin Powell. They're out looking for phones together today at the Xfinity store at 1322 East 53rd Street. And then Harold decided to stick around and sign some stuff for some listeners. Right? Who are there?
Yeah, doing the meet and greet.
And he's going to do that.
Pictures, autographs.
And he said, hey, listen, I'll stay till 6 if you want me to.
How nice is that?
Right. Yeah. And then I'll talk to, then I'll talk to Kev. You haven't gotten that interview yet, have you?
We haven't gotten that yet, no. he's in the back right now, gearing up for the fans.
He's in the back. Does he have to loosen up his autograph hand? How does that work?
I think so. Right. It's kind of like a pregame routine.
Yeah.
You know how the athletes are, Ro. They all got to stick to a routine.
Yeah.
And as you and I very much know, athletes got to stick to a routine.
Right.
Sure. Right. I've seen you guys in the batting cages. I've seen the workout.
Right.
That's why we don't have.
Before a show.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or at that little machine they have
exercises.
At White Sox Park over Guaranteed Rate. You guys, throwing the pitch out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It generally followed by, ow! Oh, my God, I tore something! By me.
Well, that's what happens. He didn't work out enough.
Here, hold my beer and watch this. That's where I get to say that. You know, which, of course, right. are the most commonly uttered last words in Wisconsin.
Is that right?
Yes.
So he's loosening up the old autograph hand.
All right,
the fans are
they're waiting.
The line is about to form here. I see we've got action in the Xfinity store. Looks like they're getting the line in order for Harold Baines here.
Okay,
this is exciting.
All right, good to know. Generally, we send Kevin out during the web show into various uncomfortable positions and things,
and make him do things that he's not altogether comfortable with.
Right, and then and now we have him actually. Doing something, that's
sports related that's totally related, in his element.
That's actually related to the radio station's interests, which is generally we operate against the radio station's interests.
Uh-huh.
It's probably not the right thing for us to do.
No.
All right. So, is this, are we, so you, what you're telling me without saying this, Kevin, is that you haven't spoken to Harold Baines yet.
Have not spoken to Harold Baines yet.
This is like when a kid comes home, like you wake up and you're at breakfast the next morning with the family, and you're trying to interrogate, like, where were you last night? And then he repeats what I just said, sort of in a form of a question,
right.
but answering what I was just asking.
It's a skill.
Yeah.
It really is, because sometimes it just pulls a Jedi mind trick on you, think he's actually answering the question.
Yes, but he's not. So what I'm asking you, see what I'm trying to get to here? Kevin,
right,
yep. Will we be having an interview with Harold Baines on the show today?
Well, it's a wait and see situation. I haven't had a chance to talk to him because I've been on since he's been here. I've been on the radio with you for the last 30 minutes answering whether.
Just walk back there with the microphone and ask him while we're sitting there. I mean, what's the worst that could possibly happen?
I don't think I have a wireless mic here, Ro.
Oh, that's,
Ernie,
that's
do we have a wireless mic? We don't have a wireless mic.
Ernie!
Ask Ernie if he's got a wireless mic.
You're in an Infinity Strike Xfinity store. Shouldn't the Xfinity have a wireless mic somewhere? They got to have something over there. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll let you go. All right, if you promise me that you will go back there right now. Is he in one of those rooms that like when you go to the Xfinity store, mm-hmm. they walk into a wall and the wall opens and then they disappear?
Yes.
You ever notice that?
I do. And they have to go get non-stocked items or like things, extra stock.
And you're like, how did you go through that wall? Don't ask.
Yeah, it's like a whole other secret land behind the main floor, because I went back there and I'm like, whoa, it's like a whole, it's not just like your regular old break room. I'm like, this is the real deal back here. So I'll go, that's where he is right now. If you want me to go, I'll go back there and I'll say, Mr. Baines,
go behind
Mr. Khan, Mr. Fuentes, I would very much like to speak with you.
I think you might want to.
I'll do my best pitch.
Thank you.
Go back and go behind the wall. Are there a bunch of people wearing polo shirts with lanyards around their necks right now, walking around with iPads? Because that's the other thing you see there.
You basically described it perfectly, yes.
Yeah.
Like the golf shirts that say Xfinity on it, little
right.
White Sox logo.
And then with non-denim pantalones of some sort, right? They generally khakis.
Yeah, kind of khaki situation.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then
so far.
Right. And then they're walking around and they might have a headset, they may not, but they all have iPads. And then they ask you if you've been helped, and then you say no, and they go, okay, what's your name? And then they put you in, and then they go, it'll be, and then all of a sudden they pop up and they send you a person next to them also with an iPad. And I never understood.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
You kinda nailed it here.
I don't understand the when you go in, and it's so much better. I'm going to tell you something. The Xfinity store, back in the day, when you used to walk into the, the cable outlet, the cable store, and that was
that was like going to the post office in terms of sort of the way it felt.
It felt like a Cook County jail intake center.
Even better, right?
Like you're in line, you talk to somebody behind bulletproof glass, and then when you go to hand in your cable box, they had to open up a door. You opened up a door on your side. You put it in, and then they would not open up their door until you closed and locked yours.
Oh, gee. It's like, right? Why are we treating everyone like this?
And there was no back door to the actual store itself where the employees came in and out. They went down in through a tunnel and came out 2 miles away. It was like, I couldn't figure out.
It's not like that anymore.
No, it's not like that anymore. Now you go in, and it is
nice,
like the
comforting
most.
Comforting and relaxing.
And everything gets done in like a second. You used to have to wait for 16 hours, and now you walk in, and they go, yeah, we got it. And they sit you down, and it's comfortable, and they, can we get you something? And then you're, then you know, they're on the iPad, and whatever you need to get done, you get done.
Totally. It's so good with the customer service.
Okay, so I just got a signal from the fine people about Harold Baines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's looking much brighter than it did 5 minutes ago when you were yelling at me.
Oh.
I think we've kind of You were yelling, and it hurt my feelings, bro. But they're working on it. I just got to look like more so of like a we'll see to more of like a we're getting there. We're kind of getting there. So it's working. And
right.
I think when I have a chance to talk to Harold 101, that it's either going to completely ruin it or maybe help the situation.
What's he doing right now, Harold?
I don't see Harold again.
He's behind the wall.
Oh, okay. No sight line even when that door opens? No.
Right. We sent our people to talk to their people, and the negotiations are ongoing.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
Just like the UN.
Oh, do we have people out there? Other than you and Ernie?
We've got some people out here. Ernie, yes. Peggy from sales is out here.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Peggy, that's good. All right. She's good. She gets stuff done.
Unlike Ernie and I.
She's a veteran. Yeah. She'll understand what to do. All right.
She's a veteran.
Okay.
Right.
So she's back there working it. Is she the one back there working it?
She's back there working.
All right. Well, then we're in good hands.
She's yes.
Yeah. Okay. It's better than you going back there. I can tell you that right now.
It is. It really is.
I don't
it
know
really
about is. I have confidence in you, Kev. I think you could land this interview.
Okay.
We'll I think Lapka would have just kicked the wall open already and been back there and gone all ninja.
That's why I'm not allowed to be
she
the
would
one
have
out
threatened
there.
Him.
Right. Hi, I really like you. You know, my family really likes you.
So you're going to talk to us, right?
Yeah, I think
right.
Ernie and Lauren would get along because Ernie's been bouncing off the walls here. This is all-time favorite White Sox player. Ernie, our engineer, is just an absolute diehard White Sox fan. He's like, hey, can I get one of those posters? Can I get one of those baseball bats? Can I get one of those plaques? Can I get an autograph? Can I get a picture of Mr. Baines? He is geeking out over here.
So they have all that for people who are going to show up and get in line, right?
Yeah, so if you come here, they give you a little card, and they have all these stations to kind of show you what Xfinity's offering, whether it's Xfinity Mobile or Xfinity TV, Xfinity Home. And you just go through the stations, meet with some of these reps, and once you feel like you get this little card, then they check it off. First base, second base, third base. Home run means you get some Harold Baines swag. And they've got cool posters. And
what a great idea.
As I mentioned earlier, the giveaway. Yeah, it's a great idea. And the giveaway at Sox Park for Harold Baines Day, which was on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
were the little replica Hall of Fame plaques for Harold Baines, who was inducted into the Hall this year. So you can get something like that or one of those mini baseball bats, the ones, you know, when you were a kid you'd take and beat up your brother with. So they got all kinds of great swag here. Yeah, one of those little ones. Just come out here. You go through the stations right now. They've got the line going, and it's going down the block. It's from the door here going east on 53rd Street. The line is piling up here. So
when I was a 10-year-old, I used to keep that little bat underneath my bed in case there was an intruder.
The little bat?
Yeah. Well, I was 10.
Gonna get him good. Yeah.
Because the other bats, like my baseball bats from Little League, too heavy.
You lived in a high rise.
I know. You never know, though.
What? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wrong with that.
The little bats are dangerous. You catch a kneecap, maybe, or an ankle, or somebody's elbow.
And I'm telling you, when your friends come over,
smack each other.
Yeah, that's it. Right. When you get my friends would come over, we would have I'd be pulling out the little mini bat, then they'd pull out my aluminum bat, and then start hitting me with it. It's like the Sopranos. That's what I was really worried about. The intruders were my neighbors in the building who were going to find a way in. It's going to be like. Oh, I hear action back there.
There's a lot of action.
All right, okay. I thought I heard Harold's voice, but no. All right.
No, not yet.
Okay.
The negotiations are ongoing. Do you want me to go back there now and talk to him?
I don't understand really the negotiation.
There's not really negotiations. Right, it's just
basically,
he's basically going,
I didn't come here to do that. I'm here to sign autographs and meet the fans.
I'm doing like sign language with people because I'm on the air with you, and everyone's kind of like giving me looks.
On the air, we're on the web, we're on the app, which gives us complete freedom.
So do you want me to walk away right now?
We got complete freedom.
Okay, yeah. What's the
do whatever you need to do?
What did Peggy say is the latest on a Harold Baines interview?
Grab six.
Okay, Okay, it's looking like potentially right after 6.
Okay, so that means we got to move news or roots.
Harold Baines, right after 6. He can jump
possible.
On with us.
Ernie just said possible. I just heard him say possible.
Yeah, I don't like that characterization.
I see hope in Peggy's eyes. I'm gonna
really work.
She
said
she's
hope there too.
All right, Peggy's on it.
Yeah. What? I know that I heard right there. I hear that a lot from the salespeople here. I'm really working on it. I've got this. We have got this done.
Working on
we
this
are,
hard.
We are 99% of the way
there.
We're
just going to get it over the finish line.
Right.
Don't worry about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And then I do like that. And I've learned that in broadcasting, 1% is actually 75%.
In sales speak.
Right. That's what it means.
Yeah,
we're
almost
99% there, which means we're 24.5% there.
It's funky math, but,
yeah.
You know, figure it out.
All right. So, all right. Well, good. Okay. Well, I feel good about this. I feel like we're going to get something after 6
Progress.
O'clock. All right. So we're going to have to call Orion. And tell Orion that we may go a little later on News or Roots.
Or earlier. Can you do earlier?
Can we go earlier? We can go earlier, right?
Yeah.
We can go at 5:30 for News or Roots?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's a good idea, Anna.
I think it would be.
That was very nice.
Ask him about Illinois State Fair and then do some News or Roots as well.
We can find out, and then I'll have him get mad at me because I don't know what a steer is. All right. Kev, what are you doing? Nick, other than sweating bullets right now, I wish I can hear them clicking against your microphone.
Thank God part of our swag bag is a little WGN baseball stress ball that I've been squeezing right and left-handed.
Comes in handy. See?
sweat drips down my forehead.
I don't know. If I don't,
eyeballs
if,
on me right now.
If I don't get this Harold Baines interview, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Going to humiliate
I'm through me. Through with WGN. Damn it.
Oh, God. He's right here, and I wasn't able to get the interview. Oh, God, Peggy, you got to get the interview. Oh, God.
Kind of just squeezing away on the stress ball here.
Maybe not rely entirely on Peggy for the interview. You got to
well,
kind of
we're
work
not.
It.
It's a team effort here. The Xfinity
now,
people and
yeah. Well, and the Xfinity people they're busy, you know, selling Xfinity. We're busy selling ourselves.
Well, they have the Xfinity the in-house store Xfinity people, but then they have like the Xfinity reps.
The corporate people are there
for the event.
Oh boy,
yeah, it's
suits.
Like the Xfinity people.
Xfinity suits.
Yeah. They're there, of course
kind
they
of.
Are.
Yeah,
they
got to
get their swag signed.
They also
Xfinity.
Have the
now,
Mr. Xfinity.
Can you let me talk to Harold Baines, please?
Did Harold Baines arrive with a team of reps or people or you know like PR people that personally for him? Like what? How was that arrival?
Not really his style.
No.
You know, he kind of just walked in and the people at Xfinity greet him at the door and then they kind of, you know, they
tried to sell him their home services and then, would you like Xfinity Home Security?
upgrade your system?
Yeah. You know, it's funny.
Harold Baines home with you today.
While you're there, it's funny you should mention that because I really do need my Xfinity security thing upgraded. Could you get that done for me?
Oh, okay. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Give me a list. We got Harold Baines interview, Rose security system.
Right, because I got that full package with Xfinity, you know, that gives me everything.
Yeah. Me too.
And I got to get I need to change the position of a camera.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think over my bed was a bad idea.
Felt like a waste of a camera. what song? What is a camera like? Just positioned poorly, or to get knocked, or what?
No, I decided that what I told them where to put it, and it doesn't tell me anything where it currently is, because by the time the door opens, whoever would be coming in the door is already past the camera.
Oh, that doesn't help.
Yeah. So right, it was
you can't pretend you're not home then.
No, right. That's exactly right.
I'm not home.
Right. And I'm like, it's supposed to tell me, you know, I'm supposed to be able to see when people come in or out of the house, right? Isn't that the whole idea of that? I should really be talking to an Xfinity guy about this right now as opposed to you, Kevin. But let's pretend
I can score that interview for you pretty easily. I'm sure I can get an Xfinity rep on in a matter of 30 seconds.
So it's, you know, coming into my house through the back door, it's like you open up the back door, but they're already past, the camera's like right next to the back door and they're already past it. So it doesn't do me any good.
Okay.
So I need to get I need to reposition it. Or the, you know, I don't know. It was dumb what I did. But now I got a guy. I got a guy in a polo shirt. Or actually, I need one of the guys in the suits.
I need the guy in the suit. I don't know. I bet the polo shirt guy would be more helpful for that.
I'm a
Well, the suit guys came in the polo shirt as well. So everybody's rocking polo shirts today. But I can tell, like, they're more of the suits, you know, the corporate office type people. I think the in-house people here, Ro, might be your go-to bet.
Yeah. Suits handle, like, the Harold Baines thing, you know?
Right.
Like, they sweep in for
the
big stuff.
But the suits call a guy, and I don't know if... you're probably right. All right. I probably need the guy with the iPad.
You need the iPad. Mm-hmm. You start just clicking through with all your info, and you get it taken care of just like that.
Yeah, that's what I need.
The official event photographer is taking pictures of me. I think he can sense my stress.
With the stress ball.
You are very stressed. Who's stressing you out more? Is it me, or is it Harold Baines, or is it Peggy or Ernie? Why are you so stressed out, Kevin?
Probably you, Ro. I would say you're the front runner and the reason I'm mostly stressed out.
He's trying to land this interview. He knows he can't come up empty-handed. He's got to do it. You're going to check back in and check back in until he gets it. And
That's why I don't miss being a producer. I felt like this every single day of my life. I got to get every interview. I got to book every guest. I'm going to blow it for the station. I had a stress ball in my hand at all times.
My parents are listening. My parents are listening to this right now.
Dad, yeah, don't judge me.
I really tried hard to get Harold Baines.
But son, I heard your guest fell through. You're a failure to the whole family.
So, Kevin, why'd that happen? You get the whole, like, you know.
It was an accident, Mom. Get off my back.
And why couldn't you get Rose's camera repositioned? All right, hold on. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come right back. We'll get to the news here at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll check back in, find out what the hell's going on here. Get Don on the phone. All right, it's Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes on WGN Everywhere. We'll be watching that story out of Philadelphia as it develops. Several police officers shot in a... it seems like it was a barricade situation that they...
They're just calling it an active and ongoing shooting situation. It's at a home, so we are hearing, though, some good news that the officers' injuries are not life-threatening.
Okay, great.
That's good to hear.
Very, very, very...
Because several police officers were shot, right?
Four were shot, and one was injured in a crash.
Got it.
So at first they thought five were shot, but now they've changed that.
Okay.
All right.
We'll watch that as that continues to develop. And our own Kevin Powell is at the Xfinity store in Hyde Park, 1322 East 53rd Street, where he is there for an appearance by Harold Baines, the great, not just White Sox great, but Cooperstown inductee this year.
How about it?
Right? H-O-F.
Just had it.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Over. Just had a chance to meet the Hall of Famer, Harold Baines. Couldn't have been nicer. And I said, Harold, we'd love to have you stop by the broadcast site after the appearance. And he said, no, thank you. He said, I do not want to appear on
that?
The show. He did say that. Very politely, very nice. He just flat. He said, no, not dancing around. He just said, if you'd like to stop by, we would love to have you. He said, I do not. Thank you, though.
So you're saying we got a chance.
Yeah, maybe if he changes his mind over the next hour and a half. He's very nice. He took a picture with Ernie and I. So.
Oh, that's nice of him. I'm glad you got a picture.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's good for you.
Yeah.
For us, that's not a big deal.
It's a good effort, guys. I apologize. I suck.
Okay.
Right. Your mom will be asking about that tonight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kevin, why wasn't Mr. Baines on the program this afternoon?
It was your job. Kevin. It's your responsibility.
Kevin, this was supposed to be your big day to shine, Kevin. Now, your dad and I still love you, but I can see why Mr. Khan would be totally disappointed.
He did ask you to do it.
Now, do I have to take this personally? I hope you didn't mention my name. And then he goes, no, I don't want to do it. Or was it
I said, we would love to have you stop by the broadcast site, the WGN broadcast site, once you're done. And if you'd like to stop on by, we would love to have you. He said, I do not. Thank you, though.
I do not.
And then we do not wish to.
It's like I do not have time. It was like, I do not wish to do this. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, to be fair, he is spending a lot of time out there. right? That's longer than most of these engagements.
Yeah. He is. He's also hours. Just mm-hmm. kind of a more of a soft-spoken type guy, too. Doesn't okay. really love the right. spotlight.
Okay,
so.
Got it. I just want to, there's really just one question is, you know, what's going through your mind as you're walking up to the podium in Cooperstown? That, to me, is the,
yeah,
you know, that's like, all those guys, when you make the Hall of Fame, it's like, what, new magic is when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
You're playing, you know, you're like 10 years old, you're playing with your friends, you're playing in a little league, you're playing somewhere, and you're stopping and you're thinking maybe one day, like you go home and you watch the All-Star game. Right? It used to be on, like, Channel 5, I guess it was, like, an NBC on a Monday night, right? There wasn't any of this screwing around on a, you know, where it was, you know, the there was no home run derby or anything. They just, and there was, like, they had one day for everybody to stop for the All-Star game, and they had to get right back to work. There wasn't any, like, union contract or anything. It was just, all right, now get back in there. But we'd, like, you know, you'd rush them. There was the one day in the summer that, you know, everybody's going to be watching the exact same thing.
Yeah.
All everywhere around the country was the All-Star game. And then the, you know, the couple weeks later, there was the induction into Cooperstown, and that was always a big deal. You know, ABC would have that, and it was like, what? It just doesn't get cooler than that.
No, you know? And you think about all the little boys sitting in the stands who are thinking, dreaming of one day being on the field, just to play in the major leagues, right? Just to make it, and then that's why I think they're just so overcome with emotion when it just gets to that moment, like, gosh, Cooperstown.
And I think with baseball too. I mean, among all the Hall of Fames, there's nothing quite like Cooperstown,
right.
considering the amount of history in Major League Baseball. It's been around for well over 100 years, so it's good. They always talk about how they're honored to win an award within a season or make the All-Star game. But then it's a chance for them to reflect back on however long their career was and say, I'm one of the best ever. The thousands of people who have played the game, I'm one of the best. And you get inducted into the hall, and it's just
right.
it's pretty incredible. I mean, Cooperstown's a special place.
Right, and you're Cooperstown, New York. It's not like you're in, you know, like, you know, as much as, and hockey's got great traditions. You know, it's very old. But they've also split the halls of fame, right? You know, there's American Hockey Hall of Fame, there's then there's the NHL Hall of Fame and the NHL
Pro Football Hall of Fame,
right? I guess it's the Professional Hockey Hall of Fame or the NHL Hall of Fame in Toronto, but whatever that is, where the Stanley Cup resides, that's a different thing. And then there's the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, right? That's pretty amazing, and I cannot tell you where the NBA one is.
That one is in, I believe it's in North Carolina. I want to say. Let me double check for you.
When it became 1930s old time again. I want to say, see? I'm going to find out where it is. It's in North Carolina, see?
I just noticed the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Let's check it out. Springfield, Massachusetts.
Springfield, Massachusetts. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
We have a listener who thinks that maybe the way you posted your question to Harold might have meant that he had to come all the way down to the station, and that could be potentially why he turned the offer down.
That's a good thought, but I'm gonna counter that with the fact that he's staring at me with my headset on the big old booth here that says WGN Radio.
Oh.
So.
Okay, that visual helps.
Yeah, but I can see where they might think that. But no, he saw me take my headset off and walk right at him because he was kind of staring me down like he's probably gonna ask me,
who's this guy?
All right, who's this guy?
Nattering nabob of negativity. Who's this guy?
The line is filing in here, which is a lengthy line. The official meet and greet is underway with Harold Baines, who will not be meeting and greeting Anna DeVontes and Rokon this afternoon.
No, apparently he's not interested. We have to get in line at the Xfinity store if we want to meet him.
Yeah, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in the car, and I'm going to drive down to the Xfinity store.
Because you're able to drive places in time that no one else can.
That's true.
Rob has all the shortcuts. He's got secret roads and whatnot.
That's true. And so I'm going to drive down, and I'm just going to get in line, and then I'm going to do that thing. I've been watching that Roger Ailes thing,
Documentary. Oh my gosh!
I'm going to do what Greta, what's her face?
Van Susteren?
No, not Greta Van Susteren. You know, the lady that we have on all the time. That
we have
she taped
Greta
him.
Greta on?
Not Greta.
Oh,
Gretchen
Carlson.
Thank you. Thank God.
Oh my gosh.
Thank God Lauren is here. Lauren
so
is like
she's able to get Greta to Gretchen.
Yeah, she worked it out. She's figured the whole thing out. She's like the kid in the back seat that's, Dad!
She's like, come on, guys.
Come on.
I did also watch and finish the series, so
it's good, isn't it?
Oh my god, it's so good.
Yeah, it's
scary
it's also very scary because
it's very mad.
Yeah, because I witnessed some of it firsthand, and they're not making it up. So.
I don't believe they're making it up. No, I've heard friends and people who support.
But
what they talk about.
But getting back to this, I'm going to just walk and have my two cell phones in my hand, which is what she did, and I'm just going to record on both the interview and just act like I'm getting an autographed, you know, book or whatever. And while I'm there, I'm going to get my security camera thing fixed with Xfinity.
I think you should pull a Jedi mind trick on him. You will do the interview on our show, and you will do it at 6:01. Something like that. See if that works.
Yeah, right.
Lauren, whatever, is that a good idea?
I'm all for it.
Can work.
Well, if anybody could do the Jedi mind trick,
it's
it would
Lauren.
Be Lauren. Anyway,
we need to send Lauren.
We really should send her.
As long as I stay in the corner and I don't intimidate by the physical nature of my excitedness,
right.
We'll be good.
That's true. Because she does get, all of a sudden she gets that sort of like Emma Stone energy when she starts doing the whole, yeah, no, it would really be great if we could just kind of do this and we could do it right now. And the next thing
we really need to.
And then the security's coming. No. It's not like, am I scaring you? I don't mean to scare you.
No.
No, what I'm really trying to do is just tell you it would really be a good opportunity for you.
Uh-huh.
It would be best for you. It wouldn't hurt you. Did I say hurt you? I didn't mean hurt you. I mean, this would be good.
Who called the police?
Why was that necessary?
I was just trying to ask him to do an interview. That's all I was trying to do.
No, guys, I'm sorry. You just let me out yesterday. Please don't take me back.
So Kev, it worked out great. Anyway.
It worked out great.
Yeah.
Hey, a White Sox winner. There's some good news for you. 13-9
right?
Over the Houston Astros.
White Sox did win in a slugfest. And my guy had a grand slam home run in the bottom of the eighth.
McCann.
Yeah.
James McCann,
James
a two-out
McCann.
Grand slam going oppo.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Going oppo. That's true. Actually, the radio call on that, which we'll play in the sports coming up,
You'll
play in the sports coming up, is a great call because it does seem like Ed Farmer was totally surprised that the thing went out.
Like, what?
Well, it barely cleared the fence
to
right. James McCann, the right. He just got it over. It looked like the right fielder was circling underneath, and it just kind of kept going and just made it.
Did not look like it was going to be a home run. So it's a great call.
Fireworks on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's a series win over a team that's everybody believes got a shot to win the World Series. That's a great series for the White Sox.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Which apparently Astros haven't lost a series since June 27th.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Huge.
They had won 8-9 coming into the series, so it's good to see from your White Sox. 13-9
right.
Over the Astros.
All right, so we'll get the broadcast bag. And it's nice to see you at the Xfinity store. Kev, I hope you're enjoying yourself. I hope it's all good. I hope it's nice, you know. Hope you ever.
It's been great.
It's real nice for you.
A lovely experience.
Yeah. Coming up at 6 o'clock, we'll be talking to Harold Baines from the.
I don't think we are. I think it's where we just learned that we got no chance.
Yeah. See, that's what you do. That's what you do to the producers to drive them totally nuts, is you announce it when they haven't already booked it.
Wait, did he mishear us? We actually don't have it on the books. Who told him we have him? Who told him we have Baines?
Now you really got to get him. Oh,
yeah. It's all right. He's already. He's very polite, and the man is. You know, he's one of
very
the
nice man.
One of the you know the great Chicago All Stars of all times, right? In any sport,
mm-hmm. Right?
And he's right up there with all those single. You know, when you just say Baines, it's like you know there's a lot of you know a lot of other athletes in Chicago that you just Sandberg, Peyton, Jordan, Pippen, Hull, Makita. You know, it's right there.
But you're saying, Kevin, he's kind of known to be a little, likes to fly a little under the radar. He's not into the interviews. Right? I didn't know that about him.
See, now that's now you're just trying to let him off the hook, aren't you? Yeah.
Because I think he kind of got a firm no rather than a maybe no or a, you know, twist his arm no. You know, in the reporting business, you learn what those are.
Which goes back.
Yeah, he didn't really say no. He didn't shut the door, but he kind of shut the door.
But we did learn radio executive, because the radio executive who gave Kevin the, we're 99% there. We learned what the 99%
totally
radio means.
Called that one out. Yes, we're 99% of the way there. It's going to happen.
Right. 1% is 100% in that case. Yeah.
I asked him, and he politely turned me down, there was like this nervous chuckle from the entire Xfinity crew. They're like, that's right. We sorry, Mr. Baines. We hope you didn't disrupt you. We're very sorry, Mr. Baines. I'm like, it's okay. It's okay, everybody.
Oh, God.
What did the 99% salesperson do at that moment?
I couldn't find her. No. Couldn't find her.
Oh, no, she's gone. She's already gone to the bar. That's
job's done. That's the other sales job.
Job's done. Actually, what she did is she got Harold Baines to sit down at the autograph thing, uh-huh. And then it's like, that's it. Goodbye. There's no reason for me to be here one more minute, because if I am, then something could go wrong and I could get blamed for it. Uh-huh. So I'm just going to keep moving along.
To the bar we go.
Yeah. God knows that's what
I would
do.
Give tickets away? Should we do something fun here?
Maybe. What do you got?
Liven things up. I don't know. Maybe I just feel better about myself giving tickets to a listener right now.
On the phone or there?
Here, I have tickets. I told you I have tickets here.
Well, how are you going to give them away there?
I thought we were giving them away on the air.
The show was going to be the end of me today.
How would you give them away there? You just point to someone in the crowd? I mean, how does that work?
What are you doing?
Yes. Why is that a difficult concept?
Well, I think it has to be more random than that.
Did they fill out little cards?
Did they put them in a little bowl? Does Harold Baines want them? Put Harold's name in there.
Why'd you say this? Harold, listen, I have tickets. If you'll do the interview, I have some really good tickets in the 300 section that you might really enjoy. It's very good sight lines. I can't wait for Kevin to get home tonight and get a call from his mother. Kevin, listen. Dad and I still, we really do support you.
Heard you had a tough day.
But maybe you might want to think about auto sales. Where is... how are you going to give them away? Because can we listen to that? I'd like to hear somebody enjoying themselves here. Other than Kevin sweating bullets.
I don't know. I'll figure it out.
You don't have a... You can just give them away, right?
Yes.
Jesus. I didn't know that was allowed. Check with sales on that. I didn't know that was allowed.
Oh, my God.
99%
I told
sure.
you. See, this is why I'm so happy I'm no longer a producer. This is the crap you deal with when you're a producer your
99%
entire life, every single day.
99% sure that I can give these tickets away.
Did you check the contest rules?
Did you? Is there somebody
in front of
you? Kevin, your tickets to give away.
Do you have
that
tickets?
That was it. I'm pretty sure I could just give...
Do you have the tickets in your hand?
Answering that question.
Do you have the tickets?
Oh, my. Now you're just trolling me. You're one of the internet trolls right now. I know what you're doing, Ro.
Well, if you have the tickets, just give them to somebody. Let's go over and let's do the Chicago.
Oh, great idea.
Do it like when I take you guys out to dinner and I do the thing with the C note in the guy's pocket and go, we're on this table for us over by here. Just go up and give two tickets away to the people at the end of the line, the sweetest people who've just gotten there and they just, they're there and they're hoping. Now he's being told he can't do that. Now he's being told. I told him to do it. I'm sorry. That's not the way that's going to go.
Not allowed to do that.
No, we're not allowed. We're 99% not allowed to do that. All right.
So, no, you can't give them away yet. Right? You can't give them away.
Yes,
so you get
I can give
them
away whenever I want, but I'm doing it on my standards. You guys are giving no input to the ticket giveaway, damn it. These are my rules, and I'm giving them away how I want to do it.
Just make sure they're not for today's game.
Why don't you give your cell phone number out and say the 16th caller at your cell phone number.
I'm going to do that.
Tickets.
Give me your number. Here's my phone number. It's definitely not Rose.
All right. That's
That'd
fine.
Be a nice trick.
That's fine. All right. Actually, the best. Listen, you think this went poorly. Let me say, I have orchestrated things that have gone much worse than this, Kev. At least you didn't storm out. And refused to sit down and sit with anybody because I was told there would be nobody making eye contact with me.
That does happen.
And that blind kid came over here and he made eye contact.
With his headphones on and his microphone.
And he stormed me trying to get an interview. I've had that happen in situations.
And they're talking about you 1 foot away from you, but they're not looking at you.
They're talking to their people. This guy right here said something to me, and I was told nobody would say anything to me.
And then the people come over and you go, he was told no one would say anything to him, came up to him and you said something to him?
You're going to have to step away from Mr. Bill Maher right now, sir. You're going to have to step away. He does not like the fact that you're breathing near him. You reached out to shake his hand. You realize he doesn't touch other people. Don't you understand that? Am I going to have to call security? So that I had a day like that. You could have a day like this. And he'll tell this story forever. There was a day. I remember.
I remember the day I was at the Xfinity store, 1322 East 53rd Street.
It's a terrible day.
Harold Baines had just made the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you like it, speaking before those like kids and you know journalists want to be journalists. Did you ever have a bad day, Kevin Powell? Mr. Powell?
Oh, it's been nothing but great days.
He walked into the Xfinity store and I said to him, Harold Baines, Hall of Fame, do you want to be on the Rokan show then at Atlantis? Step over to my little broadcast area. And he looked at me with his cold, dark eyes and he said, I do not.
That's exactly how it went.
That's how it went. There's not a lot of follow-up then when you just say it that way, right?
Yeah, I mean...
You say, I don't have the time. You say, well, we'll do it around your schedule. They say, you know, I'm not available till, you know, they got a lot of autographs saying, well, we'll do it at 6 o'clock.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Full shutdown.
Ever seen a Hall of Famer's cold, dark eyes? You ever seen a Hall of Famer like that? Like a doll's eyes. Looking at me, telling me, no, I do not. Get away from me, kid.
All right.
Could have said that. Could have been a worse
thing. Yeah, could have been worse. He didn't say that. You getting on a plane? Aren't you going to be here tomorrow? Oh, you're jumping out of a plane tomorrow. Oh, my God. Well, you want to have a bad day today. That's the
true.
Thing, Kev. Just think of it that way.
So it's a blessing. It's a total blessing.
Are you on the show tomorrow?
Yeah, but we'll be rushing from Ottawa, central Illinois. The jumps are supposed to start around 9:45 and be done around 1:30 or so.
Well, don't you... you got to say
right kind of at the start of the show.
You got to do a whole Don't You Know Who I Am? I'm on the Rokan show with Andy
DeVlantis. Right, I'm the kid who got turned down by Harold Baines yesterday. You guys better first.
Maybe you know who I am.
That's where the Army Lieutenant Colonel turns. He goes, aren't you the one that was turned down by Harold Baines?
Put him last in line.
What exactly makes you think, maggot, that you're going to be able to get on my airplane after Harold Baines turns you down?
Loser.
That reminds me of Lapko works there, Kevin. Henry Lapko works at the place you're diving from.
You got a guy.
Ottawa?
Yep. Cousin. Second cousin.
Oh, my gosh. You got a guy over there.
So he's going to know this Harold Baines story. That's the problem. That's the one thing we just learned, Kevin, is that now this story is going to follow you to the United States Army Golden Knights jump site tomorrow.
I don't know if you're going to feel better or worse about jumping if there's a Lapko there.
I don't feel any better knowing a Lapko's there. I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't.
We were at the party at the Lapko's.
I'm going to sabotage this punk.
Well, I get it. We were at the party, right, at the Lapko's a couple weekends ago. Was he at that party?
No.
Okay. But I got to just say, now, he's a pilot, right?
No, he's an instructor.
A jump instructor?
Mm-hmm.
So he's military?
No.
No.
This is now what I'm thinking, because I've seen how the Lapkas, you know, I've seen
how
what they
operate.
I see how they operate. I see what they do. I see what their off hours are like.
Thrill seekers, all of them.
Yeah, thrill seekers, and they, you know, they like to imbibe. I'm just saying.
They're enjoying their lives.
Yeah, all right.
It's loud.
So Kevin's going to get in that plane. Our plane. And he's going to be in that cage. And that cage's going to go in the sky.
All right, Kevin, it's okay. You did fine. It's all good. Stand by. We have a sports report coming up. You can redeem yourself completely in that.
Okay.
He's not speaking to us.
Oh, God. I'm never doing one of these ever again.
This is the worst.
Oh, my God. All right, Kev, stand by. We've got sports from the Xfinity store. Where Kevin is standing by. Harold Baines is signing autographs. That's the most important thing, right? The people who are coming out to see him are getting the autographs, and they can take part and get the bats and the posters and the little replica plaque, right, from the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
There's all that, and you stop by, and you can get your cameras moved around from Xfinity or whatever else you need to do. You get a phone. You get a TV. You get whatever you need. They got it all right there. The Xfinity store at 1322 East 53rd Street in Hyde Park. We got the news coming your way with Kim Gordon. It's WGN everywhere, and Kim Gordon has got the WGN news. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlasis right here on 720 WGN.
Yeah, no big deal.
Kevin Powell's at the Xfinity Store, 1322 East 53rd Street in Hyde Park.
Yeah, didn't score the Harold Baines interview, but that's okay. So, you know, it's not a big deal. It just didn't happen.
No big deal.
Didn't happen.
That's me. Kevin's not.
Anna, what would your first question be to Harold Baines if we had him on?
A Hall of Fame.
You got a great one teed up for him.
Hall of
Fame. An award-winning question, a hard-hitting reporter question.
Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer.
I know, so what would your question be?
You just, there's so many things you want to ask him about Hall of Fame.
There's so many things I want to ask him about.
I just, nobody achieves that level. I love, you know, interviewing people when they get to that level. I mean, don't worry about it. We'd have some questions for him over here.
Don't worry about
that piece of it.
Yeah, it sounds like. Yeah,
if you'd gotten him, we'd have had questions for him.
These aren't but even now, issues.
Now we don't have to even think about the questions we were going to have
for
him.
It's not even an issue. I can wipe it out of my brain. I had a bunch of good questions. I've already erased them.
Yeah. She threw them out. We were going through the trash looking for them. We couldn't find all the best questions.
Yeah.
You know what? I swear to God, I think she was going to win an Emmy, an Oscar, and a Pulitzer all for her questions here.
Quite possible.
Yeah, because we're going to put it in... we're going to make a documentary out of it. We had a whole thing.
Not needed now. Not necessary.
How's he doing out there? Is he okay? Is he all right?
Harold, the line is, we got some rain, so everybody had to move inside, so we have just, this place is jam-packed right now. The line is kind of weaving throughout the Xfinity store here. But great crowd, and keep rolling in.
Is he making eye contact with you?
He's doing that
between us.
Oh, okay.
For those who did not hear this earlier, we had Kevin go up and ask him if he would do an interview with us after he's done with the meet and greet, you know, and the autograph signing session, everything he's doing at the Xfinity store on 53rd Street, and Kevin was like, "Would you like to step over to the broadcast area and just talk for a few minutes with us, the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis back at WGN?" And he said, "I do not." And that was it.
That was the end of it. That just didn't go any farther.
While he was staring, you know, like a laser through Kevin's eyes at that point, and we just realized that now he's been staring at Kevin the whole time, doing that thing where he points his two fingers at his eyes and then back at his. Like, I'm watching you. Like, I'm watching you. And the answer is still, I do not. So, just letting you know, it's where we are.
How about just hold up a little sign that says, now, question mark? What about now? Just try that. Something.
Oh, God.
All right. Can we mention something else to take Kevin off the hook? We have not mentioned this yet, and I can't even believe this show, which usually takes very high notice of these types of issues, has not paid any attention to a cannabis company potentially opening on the Mag Mile. Did everybody see that story?
Yes.
On Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
That they're scouting it as a potential pot shop location.
The old Apple store that was at, what is that, a Huron and...
Yeah, it's so central. I
mean, Michigan Avenue?
Yeah.
It's right there?
Michigan Avenue. I mean, you know it because it's that see-through and it's very glass and modern looking.
Yeah.
Beautiful space.
Yeah. And it's, and they want to, but here, you know what I'm going to tell you what the problem with that space is for a pot shop?
Mm-hmm.
Having just been in a legal pot shop in L.A. over the weekend, is that it's, it's got too many stairs. And I think that, and they have like those glass stairs, you know, that you kind of sort of see through.
Uh-huh.
And I can just tell you, I would not be good in a situation like that.
No,
In a pot shop. And I think most stoners would have a problem with that.
You need to color them or paint them or something so you could see them better. Because they're all see-through in glass. It's like a floating staircase, you know?
Yeah. You don't need that.
But it's a 30,000-square-foot space, vacant since Apple moved out of there.
Right.
And so they're looking for somebody big to move in, and apparently they are. That's what they're looking for.
I would, if I were them, I would change the staircase. I'm sure they would probably have to change the staircase anyway. but the pot stores in L.A. are not like they were when it first went legal there. When it first went legal there, it was like going to a Fannie Mae. And there were people who stayed. There was a guy in a Hawaiian shirt named Dr. Bob who was standing behind the counter who was writing you the prescription while he was selling you the thing.
Then they got kind of professional.
Now, they look like Apple stores.
Yeah.
Or they look like the Xfinity store that Kevin's at.
That's it's how you described it.
Yeah. It's a bunch of people with iPads, and then you see all of the product in glass cases that you do the transaction on. Used to just do the transaction through the guy, the Camaro, you know, passenger side window.
Right.
Now you do the transaction. You know, there's like a, you know, they put the iPad down on this Lucite top, and then you see all the product underneath it, whether it's edibles or the cartridges for the pens or the different types of pens or the, I guess, and there's also like real weed you can buy from these stores.
Well, and they get so in depth with what are you looking for? What are you trying to achieve? Is it sleep? Is it relaxation, calm, pain? I mean, they go through all these lists and lists of things, and they've got so many varieties with so many wacky names. It's an experience.
As I explained, I smoked Granddaddy Kush over the weekend in Los Angeles. The first time since high school that I've tried to cannabinize myself. I didn't like it in high school. I did it a couple times. But I was convinced by a roadie at a rock show. So what could
go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
But doesn't it change the whole nature of Michigan Avenue when you have a business like that, a pot shop? In the, I mean, you're used to like these iconic brands and these fancy stores. It almost always felt like there was this grandeur to Michigan Avenue.
The problem, though, on Michigan Avenue, makes it feel big time. This is the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Welcome aboard, everybody.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you, and welcome us back to the show. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations to the White Sox. Big win. Gigantic
win. Exciting win.
Right. So thank you for sticking around for this. We're going to do a top 5-5 at 5:30 because we wanted to wait for everybody to get here.
Mm-hmm.
So we will do that. And a lot of exciting stuff in the top five. Then in the 6 o'clock hour, Orion Samuelson himself is going to be playing News or Ruse.
Nice.
That's a big deal.
It is. Be good to talk to Orion.
Yes. So some lucky listener will be able to be Orion's teammate for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, one might notice that Kevin Powell isn't here at this very moment with us.
No.
Kevin Powell is at the Xfinity store at 5322 East 53rd Street in Hyde Park with Harold Baines.
Yeah. Harold Baines is there and Kevin is there. There was a little bit of interaction. I didn't go so well, but it's okay.
But I said they're with each other because they are in the same space together.
Sure.
Yeah. And Kevin is there broadcasting his portion of the show live to us. I believe Kevin has quit because he is no longer...
He's given up because we were giving him such a hard time for not getting the interview with Harold Baines.
Are you there, Kevin?
Well, once I mentioned it was with Rokan and DeVlantis, he completely bailed on the interview.
Yeah,
I thought it was a good effort by me, so...
Yeah. Listen, I've been told that many a time before. You're not going to hurt my feelings with that. So you're there. And people are, we should, to the broadcast audience who's joining us right now, and especially a lot of Sox fans, we're just listening to the Sox win a very big, and also have a series win over the Houston Astros, maybe the best team in baseball. So that's very, very, that's very big. The first series that team has lost since June 27th. So think about that. So that's a big deal. So Harold Baines, if people want to go out and meet Harold Baines and get an autograph, right, they can go to the store and he's there till 6.
Yep, here till 6. The line is still pretty lengthy. It's kind of weaving throughout the store because we had some rain in the Hyde Park area. But still a packed house, but still plenty of time to come meet Harold. He'll be here for another 40 minutes or so.
All right.
Nice.
See, that's... And then he goes on to his next appointed round, right past Kevin. And he looks at him, and he looks at Kevin like, don't ever ask me another question again, son. And then just keeps going. So these are the things we learned. And Kevin, tomorrow, we should point this out. Kevin's a very busy week. Let's just hope tomorrow goes better than today went, because Kevin's jumping out of an airplane with both motors work on the airplane. That's the thing. And he's going to jump out. Strapped to another guy. 13,000 feet.
Yeah, if today's any indication how my week's going, I had a good run. Let's just put it that way. Tomorrow morning with the Army Golden Knights, I'll be meeting up with them at about 8 in the morning. Tomorrow we'll be jumping about 9:30, 9:45. And then, pray for me, and then I'll come meet you guys at the station and tell you all about it. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I've always wanted to do this, and the fact that I get to do it with the Golden Knights just makes it that much better. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
It is a very, very, very cool.
It is a very, very, very cool.
Excuse me. Oh, my God. Am I high again? What happened there?
We were talking about the marijuana store on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, and then now I'm hearing myself. So
is Russia flying over us again?
Yes. So you'll get a video of that. We'll put that all up at WGNRadio.com tomorrow. So that'll be a lot of...
Correct.
That's going to be it's a ton of fun. Again, I have only one little piece of advice for you, is that when you step out of the aircraft and you begin your descent, you don't scream. Because that will make you open your mouth. And when you open your mouth will immediately turn dry as a rock. It's the closest thing you'll ever feel to turning into stone. Like, you know, like in a biblical kind of a way.
It must be hard because they've got to give you so many things, you know, so many things in your brain before you do that. That probably is a good one to remember.
That's the only thing you really have to think about. They do everything else for you.
Yeah, I know they do it for you.
You're strapped to the guy. Okay. Just listen to him. He gets you to the door, and then he leans out. You're the first one out with the... this is the most amazing part. There are two guys, other guys, who are hanging on to the plane. They're already out in the slipstream, holding on to the doorway of the plane, and they fall backwards as you fall forwards out.
Oh.
So they can capture you, you know, going down.
Capture you?
Yes.
Oh, you mean the video?
I always wonder how that went down.
Yeah. There's one guy with a video camera and another guy with a still camera on his head. And they're chronicling this whole thing. That's our tax dollars at work right there, Kev.
So you'll look better with your mouth shut anyway. Won't look as good on the video.
Yes. The picture I have from this, you can see I'm clearly screaming. And what I'm also, and at that point, and this is like 1.5 seconds into it, and what I'm screaming is, why is my mouth so dry?
Is that what you're saying?
I feel like I'm going to be thinking about that tip, but it's going to be so hard not to smile or open
right.
my mouth. But I'll be focusing on
that. Or scream.
Right. Or scream at the top of your lungs. Because you don't actually feel like you're falling. That's the weird thing about
it. That is weird.
You know how like if you fall or you go off a diving board or whatever and you feel like, oh, I'm going down.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that sense.
Right. Or you're on a roller coaster and you feel your stomach kind of, you know.
Right. Not like that at all. So you have to worry about it. It's amazing. Once they pull the chute, too, it's the most peaceful thing ever. A, because you realize you're not going to die. And two, because it's so quiet. And the view is so spectacular. You know, you see you can almost, because you're going to jump out at 13,000 feet. And then when you get down to about 7,000 is when they pull the cord. And, you know, like an unobstructed view of 6,000 feet, and even though you're going to be in Ottawa, you'll see the skyline of Chicago from there.
Mm. So they tell you when they're going to pull it? Or they just sort of do it?
They do tell you, yeah. Well, you can't hear anything, because the wind is rushing across your ears at 120 miles an hour.
So you don't hear anything.
So you don't really...
don't yell out.
You're not hearing much, but he'll give you a hand signal.
Mm.
That'll tell you that he's about to... To pull the cord.
It's going to be fun. Kevin, you excited?
One other thing, Kevin.
What? Oh, I can't
You're tell
wait.
Me something else?
Yeah.
Yeah, one other thing. They're going to strap, you know, they're going to get you all outfitted there with the, you know, all the stuff.
The gear?
Yeah, they're going to put you, first of all, you're going to be in a jumpsuit itself. And underneath, you're wearing your own shorts, right? They're going to tell you to bring shorts and sturdy shoes. And a t-shirt, so you don't sweat through their silk, because that's extra money that the government's going to have to pay to clean that. We don't need that. The government had to pay a number of different spots in my suit to clean. Then when you jump out, before they do that, they get you all, they got to get the actual, your harness on. Because you're not wearing the parachute. The Golden Knight is wearing the parachute. But you have a separate situation that you're in, because you got to be connected to him, and that thing can't break, right? You can't get disconnected from him, because that would be bad, because you don't have anything. They're not giving you a parachute. Are you okay so far?
I'm okay. I'm following along.
Okay. So when they get you set up in this thing, they're you're going to be in a harness, and the harness is going to go around your legs and around your shoulders. Right? It's a harness. That's
sure,
how it goes, right?
I've seen that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this is the important part. This is the thing I really need to share with you. This is probably the most important piece of information you're ever going to get ever from anybody at any time in your life. I don't care what happens before you get married or anything. People go, I've got some advice for you, son. This is the most important advice. When they put that harness on, you just make sure that all that stuff down there is properly aligned.
Oh, gee.
I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah. Because when it pulls against the weight of you going down, you could have a medical emergency at 7,000 feet.
Then your mouth will definitely be open.
Yes, right. Definitely.
I've got my.
They will test that for
the laundry.
You.
How do they test it?
Oh, gosh. Oh,
they'll test it for you. There's a. All right, we held the top five at five today until after the 5:30 news because we had the White Sox game on and a big win by our beloved Pale Hose today.
Mm-hmm.
Big grand slam, James McCann.
Huge.
So there is a ton of stuff in the top five. And then coming up at 6 o'clock, we're going to play News or Ruse and Orion Samuelson. Is going to be our celebrity. Finally, we have a real celebrity playing News or Ruse. That's something.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
See, there he is right there.
It's a famous, Orion. He does already it. Making a contribution.
Exactly. All right, so there are a couple guys who had bad days in politics today.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to work their way out of things they said that maybe they shouldn't have said. Maybe they could have said it in a different way than the way they said it.
Right.
Let's start with Ken Cuccinelli. Ken Cuccinelli used to be a politician in Virginia. Then after he left that, he went on to CNN. And he was an analyst for, he was a conservative voice on the CNN panels.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how you end up getting a job in the White House, is that you audition well on cable news.
Yep.
And you got a
definite pattern there.
Right. And really, you can only appear on Fox or CNN because it doesn't seem like he's hiring a lot of people from the MSNBC.
He doesn't tweet about the MSNBCers that much.
Right. He doesn't have time.
Seems like he's got two screens that he's always watching.
Mm-hmm. So now Ken Cuccinelli gets a gig as the acting director of U.S. citizenship. I didn't realize there was a director of U.S. citizenship.
Hmm.
So now he's the acting director. So he was on NPR's Morning Edition, and he was talking about that regulation that's going to target legal immigration. Right? They're going to change the rules for legal immigration that if you are... applying in and you don't have a specific set of skills or if there's any concern that you are going to end up on the public dole.
Right. You can't support yourself and don't have some sort of proof that you won't have to take any kind of public services to get on your feet.
That you're not going to reject your
mm-hmm. permanent citizenship.
Okay. And he said, if you're going to end up as the public charge, that would be a burden of government, and that is the president just keeping his own promises.
Would you also agree that Emma Lazarus's words etched on the Statue of Liberty, give me your tired, your poor, are also part of the American ethos?
They certainly are. Give me your tired and your poor who can stand on their own two feet and who will not become a public charge. That plaque was put on the Statue of Liberty at almost the same time as the first public charge law was passed. Very interesting timing.
Although you mentioned the American dream is built on this idea that this is a place where you can come and
it's
build
part
a life.
Of it.
So there was a lot of yesterday in the news cycle, right? I mean, you probably saw this controversy,
sure.
And there was a lot of he's rewriting that poem, isn't he?
He's saying it's only about Europeans. Is
hold on, yes, but he was saying there
right.
that it's really just about the as long as you stand on your
charge.
Own two feet, as long as you're not going to cost us any dough, you can come in. That's not what it says, really. Emma Lazarus makes the point that give us your wretched refuse. That's what you need, the wretched refuse. Because the idea is that you're getting away. So he wanted to modify that. So he was on CNN this morning, and...
What do you think America stands for?
Well, of course, that poem was referring back to people coming from Europe, where they had class-based societies, where people were considered wretched if they weren't in the right class. And it was introduced, it was written 1 year, after the first federal public charge rule was written that says, and I'll quote it, any person unable to take care of himself without becoming a public charge, unquote, would be inadmissible.
I do think some of the headlines are a bit unfair. He was not saying that that poem refers only to Europeans, inferring that we should allow only Europeans into the country. He was trying to justify that the context that there were public charge rules then, and there are them now. Now, some people don't believe that the ones that the Trump administration are putting into effect are particularly good ideas or fair or right, and even other words they've described them with. But he was saying back then it applied to mostly Europeans, which is true, isn't it? Isn't that true?
Well, they were coming in on the eastern side, yeah. It was mostly Chinese coming on the western side.
I just think there we have the context, and our listeners can hear the context. Some of the headlines, I think, were reduced to things that were unfair about what he was saying. It's not the press way to say it, right?
No, I think in terms of trying to make a point,
right,
that the contextual point is that coming into Ellis Island and passing underneath the Statue of Liberty, it was primarily, the majority of those people would have been coming from European shores. Yes, that's true. But that doesn't make it better. And especially since the theory here, the operating theory, and you have to stop and think about what the criticism of this has been, is that the president is being accused of not wanting non-white people to enter the country. And a lot of the anti-immigration rhetoric that has been happening throughout the world, not just here in the United States, but this is a big deal in Europe. This is a big deal in other parts of the world, in South America.
Sure.
This is being whipped up on the internet by people who are trying to create a crisis with immigration and make the immigrants the bad guys. Especially since there has been immigration throughout Europe. It was very successful politically. It scares people, and right, it's a good wedge issue for politicians who wish to take advantage of it. It appears to have a very, very, very high change rate, which is what they call it in politics, for voters, that they will switch to you if you take on that position. So that's really what's at stake here. So they're playing into this whole idea that it's not, that when he says Europeans like that,
that's all that they want to admit.
Yes, it makes it sound like that. Now, whether he meant that from his heart,
I don't know.
It was probably intellectually something he should have thought not to say, because the context, if you're going to make the argument that he's taken out of context, try to make yourself into a position where you can't be taken out of context.
No, I'm just saying when you boil it down to a headline, I think a lot of the headlines were misleading about saying that his point was that we only want Europeans. I'm not sure he was saying that. He was trying to say that this public charge rule makes a lot of sense, which you can agree with or disagree with, and a lot of people do disagree with it.
But when you come across, you're not immediately eligible. That is a political canard that you're immediately eligible for public funding.
Right. That's right. There are rules in place already.
Yeah. So it's like, but the idea here, they're
right, he's sort of painting,
we're trying to
these
vilify
immigrants,
right, a lot of what's going on here. A lot of the public policy is being driven by a political strategy, which the political strategy is to vilify the immigrants. And the problem that we have here is that we do actually need immigrants in this country for a number of reasons from all over the world. Some of them high-skilled immigrants coming in, or people who we accept as students who get these incredible skills and they don't stay here. We'd like to retain them. And then there are people who are doing menial labor, stoop labor in the farming industry, or menial industry jobs.
Yeah, no question.
That
a lot of native borns will not do and show no interest in doing.
So we have to make a change in the economy for that at some point, one way or the other. Or you can make the argument, well, that'll all eventually be mechanized or computerized. And I'm not sure that's actually true. I mean, eventually you will have robots doing stoop labor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, picking strawberries. Eventually. But we're not there yet. Call me when we're there. And then, God knows, then we're just all going to be... Then a third of us are going to have to be executed just for the better good.
Oh,
and then we'll be fed to the people who are not... who didn't get executed.
Sounds very Hunger Games.
Yeah, it's very... I saw Soylent Green. All right, now, he's not the only guy having a bad day politically.
No.
Here, let's go to Iowa. Here's Steve King. Steve King, tell me how this one comes out of context for you. Here's Steve King, the congressman who, because he was saying such goofy things before, they stripped him. His own Republican colleagues stripped him of all of his committee assignments because he's such a goof. Here he is being, it was asked why he didn't support abortion rights for those who are the victims of rape or incest.
We know the reasons why. We don't accept exceptions for the most of us for rape and incest because it's not the baby's fault. But there's another thing. I started to wonder about this. What if it was okay, and what if we went back through all the family trees and just pulled those people out that were products of rape and incest? Would there be any population of the world left if we did that, considering all the wars and all the rape and pillage that's taken place and whatever happened in culture after society? I know I can't certify that I'm not part of a product of that. And I'd like to think every one of the lives of us are as precious as any other life. And that's our measure. Human life cannot be measured. It is the measure itself against which all things are weighed.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Now, you can make an argument, right? I mean, if you are...
What argument?
If you're pro-life, he's making the compelling argument that he goes, well, it's not the baby's fault. And then he could have just ended there.
Right.
But instead, he came out in favor of rape and incest, is basically what he did.
That's kind of just a part of human nature, and that's
just happened.
That's our population. We're thankful for it. What?
So one wonders how does that... That may be a statement of fact, but how one wonders now, how's that going to play for him politically?
Oh, gosh. What a bizarre thing to say.
Okay. So there you have it. Checking in at
number four.
News-a-roos. Cardi B and Bernie Sanders discuss wages in the U.S. It's news. It actually happened. She posted an excerpt from their chat on Instagram.
Hey, what are we going to do about wages
Good.
In America?
Good.
You know, when I was not famous, I just felt like no matter how many jobs I get, I wasn't able to get to make ends meet. Like, I wasn't able to pay my rent, get transportation, and eat.
That is an excellent and important question. Because right now, we have tens of millions of people who are earning what I consider to be starvation wages. Can you imagine somebody today earning $9 an hour?
It don't make no sense.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, sounds like they really got along there. The Cardi B and the Bernie. Who would have thought?
I want to say one thing to you. I want to say that I do not understand how to make your rigger sound.
Gosh.
I've been trying to do it, and I cannot make a...
What's
like
next?
You can do Cardi B.
I think she should give him dance lessons. Wouldn't that be funny? Is she now part of the rounds that the politicians have to go to sit down with Cardi B now before they, you know, they start?
When I start to say you're okay, whatever it is, I literally cotton balls come out of my mouth.
Oh, gee.
All right, we're getting to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
The city's preparing for this weekend's Air and Water Show.
Traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. All right, Top 5-5 continues right here. Yeah, Sox game, so we went a little later with it today. We're up to...
Number three.
John Travolta stopped by Good Morning America to discuss his new film, The Fanatic, which shows him as an obsessed fan stalking a movie star.
Is Hunter Dunbar here tonight?
That's enough.
I need to get an autograph. Don't let him do this to me.
I'm a fan.
I'm a number one fan. Help! I just wanted an autograph. Wait!
John Travolta is going to be here on Monday.
Woo!
Discussing this movie.
How exciting is that?
How about that?
I just rewatched Grease because my daughter saw it for the first time, and I just remembered how amazing he was. Even then, like in the back in the beginning, it was wow.
That's true.
Such a talent.
As a star.
Number two.
I'm in love with Mary Jane. She's my main thing. She makes
Mike Tyson and I have something in common now. Now that I'm officially a pothead after smoking pot once in the last 30 years.
Go to L.A. and that's it.
Yeah. He's opening up his own marijuana-based resort and ranch. It's going to have a luxury resort. There will be an edible factory there, an amphitheater, a glamping campground, because you don't need to build rooms for potheads that, you know, basically, a tent is good enough.
Glamping, though. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
High-end camping.
So, Mike Tyson, how often are you high?
Yo, what do we smoke a month? What, is it 40,000 a month?
Know. We smoke 40, like,
40,000 a
we
month.
We smoke 10 tons of weed at the ranch a month.
40 grand. Ain't that crazy? That's crazy.
Crazy.
Right?
40,000 worth of weed a month?
Yeah. But we throwing out, and the dispensary's like, what? Was it 500, 500 a month? Well, I can't believe we doing this. I can't believe I'm talking to you smoking on a podcast. This is like a garbage. I was f***ed up before all this weed came. I was f***ed up, man.
Is that personally he's talking about?
That kind of sounds like an addiction, if you ask me.
I gotta just say, we're not ready for this in America or in Illinois. I saw it firsthand. We are not ready for what's about to happen here in the state of Illinois.
Mike Tyson should have had to testify at Illinois in the Springfield before they passed it.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell you, they would not have passed because that's kind of what's going on out there.
Now I'm worried.
Number one.
All right, there's a zoo in North Dakota where there was a musicians set up an ensemble next to an orangutan exhibit, and they started playing. And then the orangutan got a hold of a recorder, which just proves how easy the recorder is to learn. It's the only instrument that anybody ever allowed me to play, the recorder. And the orangutan started playing along.
I'm so proud because we know that he enjoys music. Obviously, this is how this all got started.
He's playing with the music right now.
Playing with the classical music right now. This is a joy. It's a joy to hear this.
Unbelievable. Yeah, actually, I didn't know what to expect. Yeah, I'm really amazed what he can do.
It's better than most second graders.
I'm going to tell you right now.
It's better than you, bro?
Better than me.
Pretty impressive.
Yep. I got it.
Figured it out just like that.
Here's what I'd like. I'd like to send the orangutan to the glamping site at the Tyson Ranch and see if the orangutan wants to go the other way with the pipe. See what happens. And if you're stoned, you think that's great music, too, which is really nice.
It's amazing.
It's kind of a good thing that's going on there. All right. I think it's time really to close this thing up.
Let's do it.
The top five at five.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan!
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. If you'd like to play News or Ruse, call 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And our celebrity today playing News or Ruse is none other than Orion Samuelson.
Good evening.
Thank you, Orion, for being here. Now, normally, now that you see, the thing is that Orion, you hear him on this show every time, on this game, every time we play this game, because he's the voice of the Orion Samuelson Round, named after him, which is really good that we found the guy that it was named after. So we got that worked out. So he reads the headlines. This week, because he's our celebrity, Christopher Duffy, who is the director of production here, is going to be handling that.
Right.
We're playing for a $75 certificate from Green Tea Home Services.
Awesome.
For all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification systems, carpet cleaning, 800-5-GREEN-TEA, or go to greenteaservices.com. And also a desktop indoor weather station. Everybody gets that. Brought to you by American Weather Makers, Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men, 855-955-HVAC. All right, you know, but before we play, can I just ask you what your take is on the market here today? What happened?
Well, I have a rule. When we have a day like this on the market, I never sell anything because tomorrow bargain hunters will come into the market and they'll probably turn it around. It's been interesting watching the market for the past couple of weeks. One day we're up, the next day we're down, and we deal with so many rumors, whether it be China and trade agreements or whether it be with some of the factors that say, uh-oh, recession coming. And so I just look at today and say, okay, go ahead. I'm not going to get involved.
A lot of volatility. And I know you. One of the things I really admire about you, Orion, is you have this big picture look at these kinds of things. And it's helpful at a time like this when people do look at their 401k and they get concerned. Does this one feel any different than some of these other volatile moments that we've seen recently to you?
Not really, no. And I have a firm rule that I also follow. I look at my 401k twice a year.
That's a good idea. Put it on the calendar in advance.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't look at it more than that. And as I say, when the market goes down sharply, which it certainly did today, and it scares a lot of people, but a lot of the wise buyers will look at that and say, hey, here's an opportunity to get that stock that I wanted at a price and missed it, and now I can get it. So,
great point.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I'm longtime listeners know, I'm prone to panic. But when I walked in today, John Williams seemed to be the one panicking.
He did.
You know, you'd think, now, John Williams does not seem like the guy prone to panic.
No.
He's the exact opposite.
Very calm.
Cool customer. And I'm like, and I had to talk him off the ledge.
You did.
I agree completely with Orion. Yeah. I think that, you know, this is a one-day thing. A lot of people are you know, there's a lot of different explanations for it, but the inverted yield curve, which then corrected itself. Well, it didn't really correct itself, but it went to stasis halfway through the trading day. And, you know, we sort of toyed around with this notion a year ago. There are a lot of other players in the market here. We just have to watch it. You don't learn anything in a single trading day.
You certainly don't. And history has a factor of repeating itself, but I'm not sure it will repeat this day tomorrow. So,
yeah. All right. All right. We are ready now to play. And we've got three contestants on the line. I told you what you're all playing for. And Spike is playing with Kim. Greg is playing with Lauren. And Liz is playing with Orion. Liz, you are very lucky. Very lucky.
I realize that.
Yeah, you got a Hall of Famer here. We're not. He is.
That's right.
But I'm not sure she's lucky, because when I record these headlines, I look at them and say, none of these can be true. And then I hear you on the show and how wrong I am.
That's really true. Thank you. All right. Here we go. Let's start. Spike, you there?
Yes, I am. And I'm glad I'm not playing with Orion right now.
Yeah. Spike and Kim,
well,
here's
Spike,
your
we'll
headline.
See.
Canadian police use taser to subdue runaway emu.
Emu. You think there's emus in Canada? I'm going to think news.
Spike, what'd you say?
Ruse.
You don't think that's true?
Yeah, I do now. Now that she said it, yeah, I do.
All right. Good instinct.
Go, yeah. Greg and Lauren, here's your headline. Florida grandmother pops out teeth to scare off nude man on back porch. What Florida stories I generally say
I like
news.
A Florida thing. I'm saying news.
I'm with you, Greg.
There you go.
You got it.
That's very well done.
Yes.
All right, let's go. Liz and Orion, here's your headline. Ohio man attempting to make cookies in the nude on George Foreman to blame for Ohio for apartment fire complex. Go. Hold on.
What is going on with
Orion,
that?
You're so much better at reading these than I am. Ohio man attempting to make cookies in the nude on George Foreman grill to blame for apartment complex fire.
Is this in Florida?
Ohio man.
Ohio. Oh. Orion?
I'd say it's news.
All right, let's go news.
Oh, it did sound like it. All right.
Sorry.
Spike and Kim, here's your headline. Drinking bleach will not cure cancer or autism, FDA warns.
I believe that is news.
Come on, that's got to be a ruse.
You think?
All right, I need an answer. There's a ruse.
I'm almost ready to say yes, ruse.
Wait, let's see what? Did you say news or ruse?
Ruse.
Ruse, fake. Fake?
Fake.
Okay. And that would be wrong.
It's actually news.
They had to come out. They had to come out and explain. Well, they had to come out and explain that. All right, Greg and what
Lauren,
do we got?
Lauren.
Lauren. Mm-hmm. There we go. I have it right. Lauren, have I met Lauren?
Hi, my name's Lauren.
Okay.
She's a Lapka.
Oh, I know her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Famous Lapka.
Tarmac worker and plane passenger play rock, paper, scissors through the window.
Totally news. That's awesome.
Okay, we'll go with news.
Well done. All right. Liz and Orion, here is your headline. Mac and cheese craving leads woman to $250,000 lottery jackpot.
Huh. I could see how that could happen. You would stop for mac and cheese and get a ticket.
I think Spike's already using the marijuana. I don't think we have to worry about that.
January 1st of 2020, Spike.
Maybe he's got the medical card.
I don't know. Maybe
all right,
he does.
Yeah, all right, so go ahead. Is that news or ruse? Orion, what do you think?
I think it's ruse.
You think ruse? Okay, let's go ruse.
You're already... Yeah, we are already out of contention. That's the problem.
That's not right.
Oh, no, that can't happen.
No.
This is a Hall of Famer.
Not Orion Samuelson. All right, hold on. We're going to have, but Orion can still play along. All right, everybody stand by. Don't anybody move. We'll get right back to you guys. We're down to two players here, Spike and Kim and Greg and Lauren Lapka, who I just met a few minutes ago on the program. Welcome aboard. Thanks for being here. All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's going on in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Illinois now part of a lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's changes to the public charge rule.
Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team. It's all weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN-TV.
News or Ruse continues. Orion Samuelson is here. He's been eliminated before we got to the Orion Samuelson round.
That's not right.
I think that's an appropriate thing in some way, shape, or form.
But then he could do the Orion Samuelson round.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
No, we can't actually do that because we've already recorded the Orion Samuelson round.
So
using Chris Duffy. I was thinking we were going to try and fax him over the script in the commercial break, and then you know what? He's having dinner. I can't. You know, we're wasting enough of his time already. He's got to be up in like 2 hours to start
his
shift. So that's how that goes. All right, everybody, stand by. Orion, thank you so much for being here. I want to appreciate you being here.
I've got a headline for you.
Yeah.
The Pritzker family paid $75,000 for the Grand Champion Steer at the Illinois State Fair this year. News or ruse?
That is news.
News.
That is news. We did that story.
We did.
And then I was praying that you weren't listening to the radio station when we were doing it, because I had no idea what the difference between a steer, a cow, and a bull.
That's
so
right.
So it was like and that was a very bad moment for me.
Well, let me tell you, a steer has the desire but no longer has the equipment.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. We didn't quite say it that way before. But I did hear you talking about that on the Cochrane Show this morning, so I mentioned that. It went to a 13-year-old boy, right, Orion?
13-year-old boy, and the governor and Mrs. Pritzker were the contending bidders. They were bidding against each other.
How about that?
Yeah.
So what? Now, what does one do with a steer? That just goes to slaughter, right?
Well, eventually it will, because you can't keep it till it becomes an old steer, because then the meat will be tough. But it probably will go on display. It may be on display at the Capitol in Springfield. I'm not sure. But, eventually it will be processed, and somebody will have an opportunity to enjoy it.
I know, as I said earlier, I never think about that. I like to think that when I go to Jewel or go wherever I'm going to buy my meat,
right,
I just think it's coming from back there. It's coming from behind
those
doors.
That's what you
should do. Yeah, that's how I do. I never think about the rest of it. I don't want to know. You know, the pork, the meat, the whatever it is, chicken. It's like, I don't know. It's something, I don't have to think about that stuff.
No,
I'll let Orion worry about that. Yeah. All right, here we go. We got to finish up News and Roos. Spike is playing with Kim, and Greg is playing with Lauren. Here you go. This is the Orion round, as read to you by Christopher Duffy. Spike and Kim, here is your headline.
Education Department apologizes for using sex to promote reading.
Okay, that's got to be news.
I totally agree on that. And thank you, Orion. You're Chicago's very own.
Thank you.
You got it.
That wasn't just sucking up that got you that right. That actually was correct. All right.
No.
This is to win. This is for the outright win, Greg and Lauren.
Amazon says its facial recognition can now identify fear.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. Boy.
Lauren, you've been hot. I'm going with you. What do you think?
I'm scared to say that I think it's
a pretty amazing company, but it's probably a ruse. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Well,
all right,
that's
why I need
I'm afraid
an answer.
That it might be true, but
news or risk? What do you think?
We'll go true.
That's for the win, right there.
You got it! Wow! Congratulations, Greg. That's awesome.
Now, you're welcome. Hey, hold on, we'll get you all your information. You know what worries me about that is because half the things I'm buying on Amazon, I'm afraid to buy. Because they're things I don't want to go to the store to buy. So they're just going to know I'm panicking the whole time.
Right. They're like, this is a very fearful individual. Let's send him more products that he's afraid of. Suggest things.
Exactly what's going on. Oh, man. All right. Orion, thank you so much
Thanks,
for playing
Orion.
Along with us. It's a great pleasure to have you, sir.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'll give you a quick weather report from Huntley, where we live in Sun City.
Mm-hmm.
In the last hour, a fifth of an inch in my rain gauge, but it's now stopped.
Oh.
Yeah.
How's the now? Can I just also, because I never get a chance to ask you these questions? Cochran gets all the best stuff. I've been reading these stories about the crops in the Midwest because of the wacky spring that we've had, and you know where the corn production is, and so I mean for Illinois, how does that look?
Well, Illinois is going through the challenge that we have the states called the three I's, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, where we produce a lot of our corn and soybeans. And Indiana probably had the worst planting season, but Illinois and Iowa weren't far behind. Problem is, it took probably 6 weeks to get the crop planted. What's that going to do to harvest? Because they'll be maturing at different times. Now they're concerned about beating the frost, so never a day without some concern for producers of our food.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I did hear that there was concern about an early frost. Is there any reason that they're worried about that?
Agricultural meteorologist who is with us every week on our television show, Greg Solier, says he does not see any signs of an early frost. So that's something to be optimistic about.
Good.
All right.
Good to hear.
All right. Woo. I know.
But thank you for letting me join you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Orion. Good
Samson,
to have you.
Right there.
Awesome.
All right. We've got Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. All right. We're having a little technical again. We got a technical.
All Every right. once in a while.
Yep. I just want to make
it's
sure.
It's all good now.
Kevin's all right. Kevin has been live today from the Xfinity store at 1322 East 53rd Street in Chicago.
He has. Doing a good job out there.
He's been doing the best of possible jobs.
Yeah.
That I can imagine.
Harold Baines.
And, no, he's in. Well, Harold Baines is there.
Harold Baines is there, and Kevin is there separately.
Yeah.
Harold has left the building.
This is like saying that...
What did you say to him? Did you get him mad or something?
No, remember I told you he's done at 6, and it's 6:30. So his time here is done. Harold has moved on.
Did you see what he just did to you?
I know.
Do you remember what I told you
remember?
That? Like an hour ago?
I had to repeat myself like 12 times to you guys this afternoon. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give tickets away. They're like, so do you have tickets? No, I don't have tickets. I'm just going to blindly give away tickets to random people here. It's not like I came here with 10 tickets, as mentioned previously. Uh-huh. It's like, geez, are they listening to anything I'm saying
No.
I love when Kevin.
I can see that.
Let me ask you a question. Are you an ex-wife of mine? Because that's exactly what it sounded like.
Well, I understand why she's an ex-wife.
Oh, interesting.
This is the listening skills of you, Ro.
You can teach your ex-wife something about your listening skills. You can teach you some listening skills in the process, I suppose.
Wow.
Well, anyway, how did the Harold Baines thing go? Did it go?
It was great. Huge crowd. We gave away everything down to our last swag WGN pencil and poster and post-it notes, and everything we had here is gone. And everything that the Xfinity people could possibly give away has been given away. It is cleared out, though. The Harold Baines event was a success here in Hyde Park, and a lot of excited White Sox fans. It was cool to have the Grand Slam go-ahead homer from James McCann today, because everybody was collectively watching, because they have a big TV set up in the middle of the store, and everybody kind of erupted when that happened. So
it
was a fun day down here.
All right. That's very good. So you described more of an armed robbery than you did an appearance, but okay, I get it. I know what you're saying. Did he say anything to you on the way out?
He just gave me a look, and it said a lot.
What kind of look?
Because now, for those, let me just explain. We were on the World Wide Web earlier during the White Sox game, and we were talking to Kev, and I suggested he go ask Harold Baines to stop by and have a few moments of chatting with us.
Step over to the microphone and talk with us.
And,
we're nice people.
So Kev did it. Well, actually, Kev kind of relied on some of the people that were around him. There were Xfinity executives there, and there were some of the WGN sales executives there. And Kevin was kind of relying on nonverbal communication from those from the suit types that were there. And he got what you get, especially from sales executives. You got we got this. You know, he got we're 99% there. And then when we never got an answer. So Kev went up to him and asked him, would you like to step over to the broadcast area over here and talk to us after your appearance? And he says, I do not. Were his exact words. Do you want to step over? I do not.
Did he say it in kind of a sinister way like Ro just did, or was it sort of casual? How did it come off?
He's such a nice guy, but it kind of came off like that's the last he's going to say about it. Like there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Right.
I do not.
Definitive.
Please leave me alone,
right.
Sir.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. All right.
So
we got a very clear answer right there.
Right.
And the salespeople are like, don't worry, Booby Darling Sweetheart. You know, it's like my agent. We've got this. By the way.
They did say that.
Booby Darling Sweetheart, did you hear that the CBS Evening News is open? You're not getting that. It's kind of the way that goes. Anyway, so I just think that it was a successful day, regardless of the the interview. And then Kevin got mad at us because we wouldn't leave it alone. And he's had it, and he's jumping out of an airplane tomorrow at 13,000 feet, and he's got to make sure that the harness he's wearing doesn't actually disturb his junk. I mean, he's got a lot of issues.
Right, yeah. Right. I don't want to become one of those what Orion was describing,
a steer,
which was. Right, yeah. A steer which had, what was it again?
The equipment.
All the desire, but not the equipment.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen to me tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. It'll be all right.
Because those harnesses Ro described were a bit frightening.
Yeah, it'll be comfortable. You'll be fine. What could possibly go wrong? The guy, when I jumped with them, there was a 93-year-old guy jumping out of the airplane with us. I tell the story all the time.
World War II vet?
World War II. The last time they said to him in the pre-brief, they go, when's the last time you jumped out of an airplane? He goes, over Omaha Beach.
Oh, my gosh.
June 6th, 1944.
Boy.
So that was something.
So at that point, you're like, okay, I really got to suck it up.
Right, exactly. All the nerves went away at that point. I'm like, if this guy's going, and they're not going to let anything happen to this guy. Although I was running my mouth, so they might have let me go.
What were you saying?
Well, you get on the plane and they have first of all, the plane is a it's a it's a prop plane, right? It's not actually a plane they use much in the military for any reasons. And the Army is not really a fixed-wing aircraft military branch, right? That's Navy and Marines. Or Navy, Marines, and Air Force. So they, you know, you get on the plane, and they keep the doors open while you're going up because they want you to get acclimated to the atmosphere, and also opening up the doors at 13,000 feet tends to create a lot of disruption to the aircraft. So they you know, and it takes a while to get up to where you got to get to because these are not, you know, it's a twin-engine prop plane. And there's a little bathroom in the back, and you're already, like, stuck into the flight suit. So you got to go right before they gear you. You've got to go to the bathroom, Kev. Do whatever comes out. Just do whatever comes out. Be done with that. Because once you get on, if you're like, it's sort of like, you know, I had some coffee before I, you know, before I showed up, yeah, stopped at Starbucks, yeah, and I'm like, you know, it's fine. And then they were like, do you want to go to the bathroom? I'm like, no, I'm fine. You know, you like to do that little check, you know?
Yeah.
Like in your head.
No.
You know?
Doesn't feel like it.
Yeah. No, I'm fine. I'm good. And so then you get gear, you know, you get all the stuff on, and they, you know, they get you, and that's a little tight, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm still fine, fine. You get on the airplane, and they get, and then they explain to you, and like in our case, because it was at the air show, we had to do, you know, it's like 45 minutes before we're going to jump.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, 45 minutes? I don't,
doesn't sound like that long.
Yeah, but I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe, you know, but after 45 minutes, I'm probably going to want to have to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I might want to. So I like, excuse me, Sergeant, is there a possibility that I could use the lavatory back there? And this guy looked at me, and it was, I swear to God, it was like Full Metal Jacket.
The way Harold Baines looked at me today?
Yes. Exactly right.
I don't.
Body, you want a what, maggot?
It was a fat body over here who wants to use the bathroom. What are you ladies thinking should do? You know, it was just not something.
I will not be coming over to the broadcast booth.
Yeah. So
very certain terms.
I got so I didn't.
Yeah.
But then you know what? It was very interesting. And in the free fall from 13,000 to 6,000, I was not thinking about that. That's not what
so
you think about.
Don't tell me you went then.
No, you just don't think about it.
No.
It's at least, you know, when you stop thinking about it, when all of a sudden other things are happening.
Right. It doesn't occur to you. Unless you're kind of losing it, then maybe,
yeah,
you know.
That's a separate issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that wasn't happening. So we got through.
All right.
Yeah, I've been kind of careful what I've been eating and drinking today.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't want to deal with any sort of stomach issues tomorrow or anything.
Well, imagine the teasing on the program system tomorrow, too. Just let's not rule that out. I mean, if Kevin, you know, should happen to, you know, scream a little more than normal or
something else that
uke
happens
when he gets to the bottom.
Yeah.
There's no note that on the program.
The nice thing about this is that, you know, there's like no like air sickness kind of feeling to it.
You don't. No one feels that?
Not really. Well, not
even
from the
afterwards?
Jump. Not from the jump, no. Huh. The only thing that you can have, and they'll do this to you, because you're at 13,000 feet, the air is pretty thin. So you have to be, unless you're used to being in the mountains or something like that, some people get a little lightheaded, and they've got oxygen that they'll give you.
Hmm.
But they shoot it in your mouth.
they do it.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, they don't give you a mask?
No, no. No, they have a bottle that is like a, well, it's a bottle. It's a big bottle with a squeezer thing on it, and they just like open it up, and it literally shoots it into your mouth.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. So there's it. So you got that to look forward to, Kev. Don't worry. It's all good.
Thank God.
I kind of like the anoxic feeling. I sort of like it. Because you get a little.
I was gonna say, I might just ask for that. Yeah.
You're like two drinks in. It's like the best part about going to Colorado. You're already high. You get off the airplane, and you're like, hey, you feel great. And it's because it's like having a beer and a half. So
I can't wait for this. I've wanted to do this my whole life.
It's gonna be fun. You're gonna love it.
To do with the Golden Knights.
Yeah. It savor every moment of it. It's totally safe. It's totally, you know, it is because you're with those guys, right? And you think about what those guys do and what they have been through.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh, totally.
So it is. It's amazing stuff. All right. So we look forward to that. Tomorrow, Kevin will be able to tell his stories when he gets back here.
Hopefully good ones.
Mm-hmm. I want you with his underwear in a plastic bag. I think that's going to be, we're going to find out what happened there.
Bring an extra pair. Mom always suggests that. It's probably a good idea for tomorrow.
My parents are coming because they have a little, like, a public area where for friends and family to hang out and watch. Mm-hmm. So,
Lance, is that Kevin? Sure. Which one's Kevin?
Right. Right.
They all look the same.
We play football as kids. Which one is Kevin out there on the field? Which one is Ryan? Is that Kevin or Ryan on the field? I can't tell.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. When you were a speck in the sky with just some smoke coming out of one guy's heel, they'd have no idea.
Right.
Everybody looks the same in that sort of circumstance. All right. Just remember, kick your legs up. That's all.
What do you have the third thing now for him to remember?
They'll tell you.
Well, that's the one you're going to practice that. Tell me too.
Kick your legs up?
As high as you can get them, man. They practice that.
Okay.
Central
keep your mouth
little,
shut.
Here I come.
Keep your mouth shut.
Kick your legs out.
Kick your legs up.
And make sure you get the harness
that.
On correctly.
Yeah,
so that
sure.
it doesn't interfere with anything going on.
Yeah. Proper junk maintenance for the harness. And then the rest is good. And if you're feeling, again, I think you're going to be fine because we drink a lot. It's going to be fine. Being up there at the little thinner air up there. But if you do, just tell the guy you want some oxygen and let him shoot it in your mouth.
Cool.
All right.
Easy enough.
Easy peasy. All right, David Jennings, what do you got coming up at the top of the hour?
James McGee no longer being looked for. They've got him in custody.
Why? Why, Justin Coffin? Why?
What's up, buddy?
How are you?
I'm good. I want to know more about the mooch.
Well, we'll find out more tomorrow.
So
I know.
You guys on a first name? Are you on a mooch name basis with this guy?
We've had him on a lot.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
I feel like this is a go-to. You guys should cut a promo. When the mooch is in Chicago, I listen to Rokan and Anna DeBlanc.
I don't think he's in Chicago, but we'll be talking to him tomorrow. We reached out immediately when this whole thing happened.
Yeah.
He was like, "Well, I'm at a conference for a couple of days, but I'll call you as soon as I get out." And then he called us.
When he said, it actually kind of chills up my spine. When he said the Trump will turn on America. First he says he'll turn on you, then he's going to turn on the country, and I'm like, he's right.
That's true.
It's so true.
Yeah, I mean,
at some point, just wait,
and it makes you think about whether it be 4 years or 8 years or whatever it is. But there will be a Donald Trump after the White House, who will definitely want the same attention, and so he's going to fill the air that we consume.
Oh, all no question,
the time.
Yes. No question. You think he's tweeting a lot now? Oh, he actually has to manage other things.
There will be no skydiving or parasailing with President Trump like Obama did.
Yeah, no.
You're right.
No.
But the mooch really has taken a clean break here, and that's what's so fascinating. And a lot of people didn't see that coming.
He was such an advocate for the president.
Well, so was Michael Cohen.
Yeah, right.
How did that end up, right?
Yeah,
I mean, some of his most... we've seen it happen. And guys who are grievance collectors, right? The president's a grievance collector. That's his personality type. They tend to be, they're a victim of all the people around them that have ever screwed him over, and then they, it's always somebody else's fault.
Mm-hmm.
They've never made a mistake. Everybody else has made a mistake. And he could say, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning. And in some cases he is, and in other cases he's just saying he's winning. But no matter what, when something goes wrong, it is not him.
Well, I was always curious and interested because Scaramucci, when he was only, 11 days in the White House?
Mm-hmm.
And he still talked well of the president. Even after that debacle, he would go on
talk
shows.
Because it was his fault, that debacle.
But he would go on and he would say, listen, this is what you don't understand. He'd be on Bill Maher saying, this is what you don't understand about the president. This is why the president's successful, Stephen Colbert. Like, he was an advocate. He was a surrogate for the president. So, even the slightest pushback, and I do think it was slight, gets the ire of the president to tweet out. You're right. It seems more about the president than it does about Scaramucci. But.
Also, what a lot of these guys are doing, and I think that's why that Roger Ailes Loudest Voice thing on HBO is definitely something that people should consume.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful.
Even if you are a gigantic Fox News fan, you get to see a little bit of what the secret sauce is that they're using there. And what you learn in that about the Trump universe is that people are going to go, well, that's just a liberal bias. It's a liberal bias. What you find in the both the conservative, the part of the conservative media world, and you find with certain politicians, is that they're often just trying to work the system to gain something positively for themselves.
Yeah, right.
Democrats have done it.
Yeah, they all do it. Yeah.
Republicans have done it. And you find the, and what Mooch might have been doing, and we'll find out, is, you know, maybe the you know, the investment banking world from which he comes needed something, either by executive order or by legislation, that they needed to get done. Yeah. And it got done. And
he's done.
He comes from an industry where it's sort of known to game the system to benefit yourself as well.
Yes.
So not a game they're all unfamiliar with.
Right.
Well, so I think it says a lot about our personalities that you're watching the Roger Ailes HBO documentary. I'm watching Julio Torres's My Favorite Shapes, which is the new stand-up special, which I watched last night, which was hilarious.
Oh.
It truly is just that. Julio Torres is a stand-up from New York. He's a writer for SNL who did Los Espookies, which is the Spanish-speaking Fred Armisen's comedy. Mm-hmm. But all he does is he sits on stage, and he has a conveyor belt in front of him, and he's got like a camera that's close by his hand, so it comes up, but it says, "This next shape is circle, one of my favorites." And he just talks about why it's his favorite, and then the conveyor belt comes the next one. He's like, "Now this is the diamond." It's an hour, and it's awesome.
Oh, my God.
So, like, I think
put that in your queue, Ro.
That tells us a lot about our personalities, that you go for the Fox News, Roger Ailes documentary of Substance, and I cannot wait to watch again the Julio Torres,
yes.
My Favorite Shapes.
Okay. It might, yeah. It might say something, yeah.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Have a good show.
Chicago Stories told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speakers users say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news sponsored by Gilkey Window Company.